another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big Old Brian.
Hello.
So, a couple of things. First off, we're going to play Who the F Sells This S.
My favorite.
Coming up, where we call the folks over Craigslist and find out why they want to sell plastic hampers for $3. I understand, and again, I feel like I have to preface this almost every time. I was poor. I was always poor. Now, I wasn't Elvis growing up in Mississippi poor. But I was, I grew up welfare poor. My mom was on welfare, and she had food stamps. And yes, we lived in a house, but it was a crappy house that was dilapidated because my grandmother had bought it for $10,000 as an extra investment in 1951 and just let her daughter flop there for the rest of her life. My grandma wasn't going to put a penny into the house because she wasn't getting much on her investment. She wasn't getting rent, and my mom was too depressed to do anything on the house. So the house, which is a 100-year-old house, began falling apart in the 70s, and it kept going that direction until somewhere in the 80s or 90s, and somebody got off their ass, and I rebuilt the kitchen. So I understand what it's like to be poor, but I was never so poor that I couldn't afford a pizza and that I wouldn't shell over an extra $1.50 for the topping that I wanted on the pizza.
Ah, okay. But what about a fountain drink? That was always a luxury for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would never, you know, if I went out to dinner, I would never have a glass of wine, and I would never order a malt or anything like that. You'd get the iced tea, and you'd get the refills and all that kind of stuff. Sure, there's poor, but then there's stupid poor.
Right.
And you tying up a whole bunch of your time trying to sell some golf balls on the internet for 75 cents, not a great, that's called stupid
yes.
poor.
And what we've learned from talking to several of these people, many of them just want to connect with others.
But there's whole pages of that in Craigslist for connecting with others.
I know, just, here's what you should do. Be honest. Say I'm lonely. Go to the next page and say, right. I'm white, I'm 42, I'm a divorcee, I'm new in town, and I'm horny as hell.
48.
Write that down.
Maybe that doesn't work as well as I have a used golf ball for a quarter.
I know.
Maybe if you've got the basket the guy was selling, white male, 48, got a lot of balls. I think right there, that's a good one.
What do you think, though? You think if you're selling one plastic gardening clog for $1.50, a bunch of hot models are going to show up at your house? Hey, I'm just calling about. What do? Use the gardening clog or the hamper to lure the models over to the apartment, and then you give them your wrap? They sure. come in, and they're like, hey, where's that gardening clog? And you're like, how about a wine cooler? You think that's how it works? Bunch of hot stewardesses come on over. The chicks who work holding the attaché cases over there with Howie Mandel. You think they're just perusing Craigslist and like, wow, look at this, a used mucklock. Hey, a golf ball.
They're like Cinderella looking for that other gardening clog.
3 foot of slot car track for 80 cents. I want to get to know this guy better. What kind of international man of mystery sells a Hot Wheel track? Just one, with no connectors.
Oh, the guy that wants to whack his kid.
I am intrigued.
You are.
No, sure, I could have my assistant call this man up, but I'm going to Van Nuys. I'm going to pay a visit to this guy and his mother in their apartment.
So we're calling people from the Penny Saver and Craigslist who are selling weird S.
Right. We'll get to that. But first, a story I never got to yesterday because I got sidetracked by myself, by the way, as I oftentimes do. You know, a lot of folks get sidetracked by the phone ringing or people interjecting into their conversation. I have separate voices in my head that pull me different directions. And what I was trying to get to was I was taking the kids and the dog and the wife for a walk. That's right. I walk her, too.
Yeah.
When I go out with the kids and the dog and the wife, sure, she's pushing the stroller, but I'm running point. And I look at it as taking the dog, the kids, and her for a walk.
This is what you woke me up for.
And we took a little walk around the hills near where we live, and we got up to some cul-de-sac up there, and there was a stray dog. And the dog was sniffing around and coming and sniffing the kids and Molly, my dog, and so on and so forth. And I thought, the dog seems safe enough, even though it was sort of a pit bull mix. I was a little bit freaked out. But I went, and then I went and looked at the dog's chains. The dog had tags on it because the dog got out of whatever yard it was in. I didn't know what house it came from. I just assumed it was one of the houses at the end of the street. And the dog was nice enough, and I pulled the collar, and it had a whole bunch of tags. You know, dogs now have, like, medic alert bracelets. Right. You know, there's, like, these rich dogs out there. It's like, the dog's allergic to whey. And, you know, just crap. You know, don't eat peanuts around the dog and all this crazy stuff. And I found the dog's name and I found the phone number of the house, but no address. There's no address on the dog tags. And now I didn't know what to do with the dog because right. I didn't have a cell phone. Nobody was around. I knew it was one of three or four houses at the end of the street. If I had the address on the tag, I could have pushed it over the fence of that house. But I had no idea, so I started, you know, ringing buzzers and, you know, we wanted to, you know, you want to get out of there, but you don't want to let the dog, and you do that thing, or if somebody found Molly, you wouldn't want them to just let Molly run right. around and get hit by a car. So you start, you know, walking down driveways and knocking on doors and pushing buzzers and things like that. And then it occurred to me, there was a time when a dog collar had an address on it.
I do believe. Still.
Yeah.
Well, it occurred, and this is where the thought came in. I thought, yes, dog collars used to have addresses. Yes, this dog had literally three collars hanging from it, none of which had the address on it. And then I realized, aha, this is one of those modern safety things where they say, don't put your address onto your dog collar. Oh. Somebody will find the dog or get hold of the dog. You know, you'll be walking the dog in the dog park off the leash. Some weirdo guy in a van will start petting the dog and do that creepy thing in the movie where you come walking up and he goes, is this your dog? And he's looking at the collar right. and he's looking up at the hot chick who owns the dog. And now he's coming over to the house. So I'm sure, and I don't know this, but I'm sure there's been some decree over the last 10 or 15 years where somebody said, oh no, don't put your home address on there because there's a 1% chance weirdo guy in a primer van will look at the dog and find your address. But there's a 99% chance some nice neighbor is going to find your dog and not know what the F to do with your dog.
I'm dying to find out what the F we did.
I went around and I didn't. When I say I went around, that means I told my wife, go knock on that guy's door.
I wondered about that because yeah. I only guessed what kind of neighbor you are. Mm. But just the idea of Corolla ringing your door and going, hi, is this your dog? It just seems so out of character.
I rang the first doorbell and the first actually intercom, which I enjoy more than a doorbell because right. the doorbell, the door swings open and there's a guy standing there in the bathroom. The intercom, you get just talk to a nameless, faceless person through a little magic box.
Kind of like what we're doing right now.
Yes, yeah. That's what very we are for you guys. She walked down the driveway. She found a neighbor. The neighbor said it's the other neighbor's house and they delivered it over there. Either way, I thought to myself, what else are we doing that is supposed to be providing safety for us, yet we're screwing ourselves? See, you think you're doing the responsible thing by not putting your address on the dog collar. You almost lost your dog. And again, the chances of the homicidal maniac reading your address off the collar, figuring right. out that's your house and coming to kill you is slim to none. But the chances of your dog getting lost and no one knowing where to return it is much greater.
I get more worried about privacy issues when it comes to refilling prescriptions and such.
Mm-hmm. Like because when you're getting your dog Xanax?
Yep.
You don't want to know where your dog lives?
My dog's uptight. No, I mean, I guess people have their assistants do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're Jessica Alba and you need your Valtrex.
Right. Right.
You're not, you don't walk up to the Rite Aid and they go, Alba, Jessica, was it the Valtrex?
Right.
You've got to have some other kind of fake name to protect your privacy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's actually, I never really much think about it, fake name and everything.
Yeah.
You know, because for the first 6 years I was in radio, my name was Bree St. Cloud.
But, I mean, there's one and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, you see, when you're Bree St. Cloud or you're, you know, Machine Gun Bob or Machine Gun Bob or whatever the hell Fluffy. You are, Fluffy and Frank, you can go get your Valtrex
right.
replaced, and it's you got a name, and you don't know what Engelbert Humperdinck's real name is, or whatever the hell, whoever the hell you're going by. That's a number one reason you should change your name. But because even if you're Jessica Alba, your assistant still has to go say Jessica Alba,
right?
And then the person goes, "Is this Jess? Oh, I see, 23-year-old gay guy wearing kissing potion. This must be Jessica Alba," and he's holding like a man purse. And they go, "Oh, this must be Jessica Alba's assistant." So you don't get to see Jessica Alba, but you gave her Valtrex, so you can do the herpes math. There should be, back in the day, they would have mafia doctors.
Yeah.
You got shot, and when you were raiding some drug house or something of some rival gang, you couldn't just check yourself into St. Joseph's. People want to know who shot you, why, and where is he. You'd get arrested. There was a mafia doctor. Mafia pharmacist. I know they have unscrupulous pharmacists. I know they have, you know, Elvis's pharmacist and that kind of stuff. But most of the stuff you go to the pharmacy for is embarrassing.
Right, almost everything. For example, over the weekend, I was supposed to get a refill on my birth control pills Friday, but I just couldn't get around to it because I got fake married that day and I had three jobs. So Saturday, I called and it was just the doctor's exchange. And I said, "I'm really sorry to bug you. I don't want to call the doctor on the weekend, but I really need a refill of these pills because seriously, I don't want to miss a day and get pregnant yet." And so this was just the exchange. And they said, "Well, we can't call the doctor for that." And then he takes a beat and he goes, "Is this the Teresa Strasser from the radio?"
Yes.
After I just explained to him my very personal problem. First, I was amazed that anybody recognized my voice.
That's cool, number one. But yes, I know anything you do. I mean, here's what embarrassment is. Embarrassment is two parts. It's half of it is the act. Did somebody just drove by and saw you taking a leak by the side of the road?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's half the part. Half the part is just stranger, never met before, never seen this person in my life, saw me urinating by the side of the road because I couldn't wait to get home. That's half embarrassment.
Yeah.
And then the other half is, hey, that's Bonaducci taking a leak. Or if it's not Bonaducci, it's your neighbor who goes, "Hey, that's Phil taking a leak," who's ironically filling the gutter with his urine on the side of the road. So that's all embarrassment is. Embarrassment is half the act, actually maybe a quarter of the act, and three quarters. Look, let's face it, if somebody said, "Put a ski mask on, a turtleneck, and some gloves," well, you could go take yourself a nice deuce by the side of the road and laugh the whole time as your neighbors drove by because they'd have no idea other than the Harley and the cigarette hanging out
and
of the ski mask and the telltale
like
tattoos and the 4-inch heels on the cowboy boots that was Bonaducci.
Yeah. Most people could get away with
it. And the fact that he gave birth, dropped a deuce and was mainly, well, I look at it that way. Mainly a monster energy drink. It came out in the shape of a protein bar.
Is it neon green?
God.
The point is it's not the Valtrex. It's who's buying the Valtrex.
Yes.
And again, like I said, John Q. Public comes in there, buys Valtrex. There's a little bit of that. Wow, that's embarrassing. But when the person's going, "Aren't you the guy from the mansion?"
Yeah.
Then it's a weird thing.
I wanted to tell the guy, dude, you work for an OBGYN. You might want to have a little discretion.
There must be, and there should be, and I know there's online this and online that, but there's still the name. There just needs to be a sort of a mafia pharmacist so all these celebs can get their junk. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. My favorite new bit, who the F sells this S? We're going to call people on Craigslist. We're going to call people. Oh, I have a little. I have some teases here. Oh, my God. I have a thick pile. New adult DVDs, $3. 100 brand new. All genuine. Not bootlegs or copies. Hardcore porno. Isn't it just porn these days?
Yeah.
Hardcore porno. New releases. Shrink wrapped DVDs. Only $3. You just head down to the guy. The guy has a garage filled with a bookcase filled with porn, and you go get it there. Brand new Hanukkah menorah tea.
Ooh, I need one of those.
$4. Such a deal. By the way, I don't know what the Jewish version of hell is. Maybe paying retail, but for you sell your menorah, you're in trouble with Moses, are you not?
No, I mean, maybe you're just sharing the ritual with others.
And sharing on a bit of a walk.
There's a book called How to Make the Right Choices, self-help book for $5. There's Playtex, deodorant, tampons, $2.
Oh, well, are they slender?
Wow, you know someone who could use them?
Who squeezes the trigger on the deodorant tampon? And when do you ever really admit that you need the deodorant tampon? And if that's the fact, why don't you just give an extra spritz with your right guard down there? Latina adult movies, just for you. Must go. $5. I like the ones where the people
must go.
I like the ones where the people make the decree, like, hey, I really need to sell this.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna go in and buy a car and go, wow, $47,000, a lot of money to spend for a Lexus. And the guy says, this must go. And I go, oh, here's the cash.
In that case, yeah.
Body glove wetsuit shorts. These are the things that you chafe and then urinate into underneath your wetsuit.
That's called a warmie.
Yeah, that's $5. We got Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yeah.
And Scarface movie, $5.
I have to cut in with some breaking news.
What's happening?
My people at TMZ, my phone's blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Danny was involved with some incident last night.
Oh, really?
And
says
I figure...
Right here.
I figure, why tell them first?
Mm-hmm.
We could discuss it here first. So that's just a little something for you, Adam, to think about. Maybe next break, maybe after.
Right.
My phone is literally blowing up, and
really?
My emails are blowing up.
Do you want to give a tease, Danny, before we do who the F
I just want to make sure it was okay with Danny, so I wrote him a note.
Yeah, if you want to read that very top line right there. That's
Danny
me.
Bonaducci is a felony suspect.
All right.
He From seems to have
night.
Gotten into some trouble
From
last night.
Night. All right, yeah. Well... I'll tell you what we'll do then. Let's get into that.
I'm sorry, I had
no,
to break in.
Listen, I'm not being passive aggressive. We got breaking news. We'll just slide this "Who the F sells this ass" back one segment.
As I love that segment.
Do it in prime time anyway.
Well, there might be a few extra things for this guy to sell.
All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break and find out why Danny, in the eyes of the law, is a felony suspect.
Yeah, again, my producer at TMZ started calling me around 5:30, been calling.
I also have a little clip from TMZ, a bone to pick, if you will, from two nights ago that I never got around to yesterday. We'll play that clip. I'll pick T's bone, and then we'll find out what happened to D-Bone next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With an early critique of this morning's show, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Yo, yo, yo! Jack Man's a little sleepy this morning, peeps! I was up late watching Caveman last night! Over and over and over! C'est magnifique! Today, from the practice in Big Shots, Dylan McDermott, the star of Dirty Sexy Money, Billy Baldwin. From the Heartbreak Kid, former Daily Show correspondent Rob Corddry. Hey, as long as I got the mic, Jack Man just wants to offer some support to my homeboy Isaiah Thomas. Hang in there, bro. I've had as many sexual harassment lawsuits as the next guy. Wait, the next guy's had 127 sexual harassment lawsuits, right? Okay, good. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, breaking news from TMZ. Now, yeah. What happened?
I'm watching it right now.
My phone's been blowing up. My producer, Evan, my producer, Andy, Jillian.
What? Now, I was talking about nothing, as per usual, 6:08 in the morning, and what happened?
I'm trying to watch the tape of right here, and all they've got is Johnny being Johnny Fairplay.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Johnny Fairplay?
From Survivor.
Survivor.
Yes.
He's the guy that they were allowed to have a friend visit. Or he got an emergency visit, whichever it was a long time ago.
No, here's how it worked. This guy's a blonde, curly-haired guy.
Right.
He looks like one of the Wilson. It looks like Owen Wilson with a fro.
Right.
Essentially.
Owen Wilson on his worst day.
On a bad day with a fro.
Right.
Blonde fro. And he is a very tactical, maniacal guy, and they call him Johnny Fairplay, but that's like calling a fat guy Stretch.
Right.
Oh, sweet.
And on Survivor, somewhere in the middle of the show, they do that thing where your relatives get to come out to the island and you play a game, and if you win, you get to spend a night with your relatives.
Right.
Although for me, I always turn to my wife and go, wait a minute, if you lose, you have to spend the night in a hut with your mom. Am I right?
Right.
No, that's the prize for winning.
It's always funny, too, because because they fly the wife or the mom or the dad or whoever onto the island, and the person is bursting into tears when they're interviewing them because they haven't seen their dad in 9 days.
And I'm thinking to myself,
not enough, right? Is that why you're crying? You want to Bali to get away from your dad, and now 9 days later is in your effing hut? Like, I always turn to my wife and go, really? You're a 37-year-old man, and you can't go 10 days without seeing Pops? But anyway, that ruins it. Then she looks at me and says, stop ruining it. But Johnny Fairplay is the guy who, when everyone else showed up with their family, his friend showed up. So everyone else's grandparents and parents were showing up. Just his friend showed up. And it was like, why is his friend here? Why isn't his grandparents here or his mom here? And well, as it turns out, his grandparents were like the love of his life. And then the friend showed up and like whispered in his ear. And then Johnny Fairplay like looked crestfallen and a tear started coming from his eye. And he said, I've just been informed my grandparents died while I'm here on the island. And everyone was like, oh, hey, man, because after all, you're a tribe, and people are like, hey, man, take my food.
Right.
Hey, take my bonus necklace and all this stuff.
Exactly.
Turns out later, he made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
He just told his friend to show up, say his grandparents died. Oh, it was awesome.
Wait, so it's fair to say, Adam,
that he's scum?
In your opinion, that he is a douche nozzle.
You know, it's really weird. You would think I would be the guy who says, this guy has no character, no backbone, and no dignity. He's
right.
A douche nozzle. He's everything. Other hand, it's just a game.
Right?
And this guy used what he had. He may not have been stronger than the guy next to him.
Right.
But he used this, and it got him a meal, and it got him a free night in the tiki hut.
Yeah,
and it's underhanded, but it's outwit.
It cost somebody else a meal, though. And they hadn't eaten in just as long.
Well, would you like to know what TMZ is saying? Let me read you the brief
item. So, Johnny Fairplay.
It involves Johnny, and I'm glad you set up who he is for those who don't know.
Because I'm looking at the video,
and
I guess only the Fox cameras were inside. Because when you see the video of what happened to this guy, I'm probably not in any trouble.
Here is what TMZ is reporting exclusively. Danny Bonaducci is a felony suspect. Last night at the Fox Reality Really Awards, Bonaducci jumped on stage, picked up Survivor star Johnny Fairplay, and slammed him on his face, causing him to lose a few teeth. Fairplay was taken to a nearby hospital where police were called. Bonaducci is named as the suspect in a felony battery report.
I also, by the way, happen to know it's Fairplay Berg. He shortened it because he went to Jewish stigma and wouldn't work there.
I think normally I would be scared to death at this point.
Right.
Normally I'd just be petrified.
Now, wouldn't that be on film if you jumped up on stage and slammed his face into the ground?
Of cameras, but they're all Fox cameras. These are all the film I'm seeing on TMZ is from outside. I'm long gone. I've gone home. I waited for my car. They valeted my car. They brought it to me. I heard some ambulances.
Outside the theater.
Yeah.
You heard ambulances.
Oh, yeah. I saw the ambulances. I didn't know if they were coming for him or not.
Set the scene. What theater is it at? Where are you at?
It's at the Hollywood Sports Club or Three Boulevard or something like that.
Is it the one that's on Sunset?
Yeah, it is on Sunset.
Social?
But it's right next to Social because it's called Something Boulevard.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's literally right next
to
it.
And Fox is doing the reality TV show award show.
And I'm a presenter with Elvira.
Mistress of the Night.
Yeah, Cassandra. Right. She's a very nice young lady.
Mm-hmm. Cassandra Peterson, right?
Yeah, and they were very, very nice. Everybody was super nice. And Amy loves reality shows, so she was like in heaven. And then Johnny Fairplay, who I have a bit of a history with.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I didn't like what he did with the mom dead thing. And he came up at a year or two ago at some event and put his arm around me and like made some remark I didn't care for. And I said, you know what? You don't appeal to me, man. I said, I don't like what you did.
I've run into him in the past, too, at some event where I was on the cover of some magazine. Not a big magazine, but I can't remember the name of it. And they had some sort of party for me. And he was there. And he did the same thing. Take my number, whatever.
Yeah.
Because you got to realize, we are now going to have a glut of, you know, it's bad enough. Pardon me, Danny, but the ex-child star's bad enough.
Right.
But at least they made a few bucks and had a few acting lessons and maybe got a little therapy and possibly they're over it by now. We're going to have a glut of 30-year-old guys who were on TV and are no longer on TV.
Right.
Right.
This reality show business is a bunch of guys in some weird netherworld of not quite celebrities, not ex-child stars, not ex-anything except for reality show whatever, and they don't know what they are.
It's confusing, and I noticed they end up with each other in relationships a lot. Like, this guy is with a woman from America's Next Top Model who's pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And now there's too many of them.
Right.
You see, back in the day, there was Kobe who won Survivor, and right. there were three other reality shows. And when you're in the first wave, you're a famous guy from a reality show. Well, now every network has a reality show, and we don't know the guy who's on the Next Top Bull Rider from TGR channel at 4 a.m. in the morning, and he expects us to know who he is, and everything's just a mess.
Think about the first Real World. Couldn't you name or picture almost everyone from the very first New York City Real World?
Well, now we're lapping ourselves because the celebrities, the C-list celebrities from, now the C-list celebrities from other reality shows are joining the cast of The Surreal Life.
Yeah.
So you're now saying, hey, we got to call out for celebrities to come do this reality show. And the only reason the person's a celebrity is from their last reality show.
Right. And some of them are crossing over into real shows. I mean, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is on The freaking View.
Oh, yes.
She's a girl from Survivor who had no journalistic experience.
Yeah.
Not that I don't love the job she does.
Yeah, but she's hot. All right, so now Johnny Fairplay gets slammed, and how?
Not exactly.
How does your name get implicated?
Okay, I do it.
Oh, I see.
There's no two ways about that.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be...
An ambulance was called.
Oh, I'm watching him get into it right now. He's actually fighting with the firefighters who are there to help him. He's throwing stuff at them.
Well, what happened?
Here's what happened. And this is the cool part, because this was an award show. There's cameras on booms. There's cameras everywhere. So I am completely covered, at least in my estimation. I'm sure he'll try and sue me, but he'll lose rather badly. And, you know, I didn't bother. I thought, should I go protect myself and go to the doctor and say he hurt me? Should I call the police and say I was attacked?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Should I cover him? And I said, you know, there's an awful lot of cameras there. You can see what happens. So I'm leaving for the night. I'm done. I presented my award, and I think the show may be over. I'm not even sure, but I'm leaving, and Amy and I are getting up, and we're walking out, and Johnny Fairplay is on the stage, and I can't tell if he's supposed to be there or not, right? If he's just being weird. Like, remember when Steve-O went on the stage? And so I can't tell. And he just starts going, why are you booing me? Why are you booing me?
Into the microphone.
Why are you booing me?
Is the audience
over and
booing
over.
Him?
Oh, my God. They hate him. So as I walk by, I say to Amy, they're booing him because they hate him. Mm-hmm. And a lady in a headset says, go up there and tell them that. I go, okay.
Right.
I walk on the stage and I go, dude. And I lean the microphone, which he happily hands me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even hand it to me. He just leans it up towards me. And I go, quote, unquote.
He hands you the mic or a lady
hands
you?
It points, oh, no, he does.
Oh, he
it's
does.
Just he
okay.
and I on stage.
Right.
And I said, buddy, they're booing because people hate you. You know, I think that's all I say, but implying what he did with the dead grandmother.
The big lie he concocted. Right.
So that's it. I said, they're booing because they hate you. And I turned and I walked away. And I am off the first step of the stage. He's 10 feet from me. And I hear him yell, hey, hey. And I turn around. And just as I turn around, he comes running at me, leaps in the air, wraps his legs around my waist, both arms around my neck. Now, I can't tell if he's pretending to have sex with me, or if he's shaking me, or I can't exactly tell, but I'm being fully throttled, arms and legs. There's not one part of this guy's body on the floor.
You don't know if he's kidding or if he's attacking.
He might be just messing around
or just
and doing
goofing
a fake
in front
sex.
Of the audience.
I know that we have had words before, but I know that in my heart, I mean, although I think he's crazy, I think he knows he can't fight me.
Wait, now before we get to the teeth getting knocked out, what words did you have in the past?
Just one time he came up to me and said something. I said, listen.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
You and I are not going to be friends. That's all I said. And I walked away. I saw him at another party like a year later or something. And he comes up to me and he goes, hey, do you and I have heat?
What?
He said that
That's
to you?
What I said. I said, what?
What does that mean? Sexual heat?
My first thought was, since I'd already told him you're not my kind of guy, yes. And he goes, a real tough like. He goes, you and I have heat? Is there some heat? You got some heat? We got some heat? And he says over and over again. And I go, wait. Do you mean, is there trouble between us? No. I just don't like you.
Right.
I just think what you did was scummy. I don't like you. And I walked away again. I see him again last night at a party. About every year, I'm apparently destined to see this guy.
Yeah.
So then I say, as I am asked to, hey, buddy, they're booing you because they hate you.
Right.
And I walk away, and I am literally, I guess, 10 feet away mm-hmm. with my back to him walking off the stage when he yells, and I turn around, and he's running at me at full speed, and I'm thinking, if I'm under attack, I should do something right now.
Yeah.
But I'm wearing a lot of jewelry, and I'm wearing my fake silver rings, mm-hmm. going, this will really hurt this
right.
guy. And I don't think he can hurt me much, and his hands are kind of out, so it's not like he's going to, I mean, I have some practice in this area. So he leaps into the air
mm-hmm.
and straddles me with, like I said, his legs are around my right. waist, above my
like
belt.
Like a girl who's happy to see you at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
She'd have to be real happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she, I mean, this is underwear, not if she's wearing a dress.
Okay.
This is fully, I mean, I guess you could describe it as that or a guy who's going to squeeze the life out of you.
Either
you
way.
Know, you have a split second to make a decision whether the dog that's running up to you is friendly or is going to bite you.
Yeah.
Yes, but I waited too long.
Right.
Because
okay.
I should have, theoretically, decked him as he was running.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if I was going to make that decision, I'd have made that decision.
But also, you're on stage at the time.
Yeah, at the very side of it, because I would have no part of this.
But you're thinking this might be theatrics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't tell you what I thought about that. I just saw a man running at me at full speed.
I'm saying if you were walking back to your car at night and you were in an alley and a guy started running at you, you'd punch him.
Yeah.
Right. This is, you're on stage, so you're thinking maybe this guy's screwing around.
No, this is Johnny Fairplay. He'll do anything to get his name in the paper.
Ah.
Right.
Including fooling around, but including also punching me in the face.
All right, so what happens?
So he's now got me in what I will refer to as the death grip.
Right, with his legs around your waist.
And his arms around my neck, and he's jerking back and forth in what could be construed as mock sex or trying to knock me to the ground. He's shaking me.
Mm-hmm.
So all I do, and he's a full-grown man. I didn't know he'd be so light.
Mm-hmm.
I just grab the butt of his jeans and push straight up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he goes flying over my head and apparently landed behind me on his teeth.
Now, did you notice? Did you look over and notice teeth or blood?
Well, I just walked out, gave the valet guy my ticket. I didn't think anything really had happened.
Now, was this, I know TMZ doesn't have the Fox feed, I don't believe.
No, all the video I can find is a Fairplay leaving under his own power with a napkin to his lips and being rude to firemen.
But Fox would have this on tape. Right? This wasn't during a commercial, or even if it was,
I don't know. If it was a commercial, then what the hell was he doing on stage in the first place?
Let me clarify. Had the show officially ended?
I don't know. I don't know, because I thought I was there to give out the award with Elvira for the best reality show, and I think it was the best competition in a reality show.
Right.
So I don't know if the show is over. They're having a lot of technical difficulties.
Okay.
The generator went down, and everybody was sitting around for like 20 minutes just drinking, doing nothing. And Fairplay got on stage. I can't tell if it was part of the show or not.
Well,
I know he had a microphone. They didn't cut it off.
Now, but then who? Well, I'll tell you what we should do. We should take a break.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we'll find out who's the one who said that Danny has a warrant out for him or who decided he should be arrested.
Well, it doesn't say one. It says felony suspect.
Oh, it's a suspect.
I see.
Maybe we can try to get a hold of Johnny Fairplay. Our crew from TMZ has just arrived, and they're shooting this.
I'll play a despicable TMZ clip when we come back. And I will tell one of my favorite stories involving a couple of big bands that you've heard of and some antics on stage that were misconstrued and a bottle that was broken over a guy's head later on. It's a famous story. I was there. I was standing right on the edge of the stage. I watched the whole thing go down. So I have a good one for you guys, too, and we'll keep you updated and posted. What?
I just looked at the site. And by the way, TMZ has just transcribed everything that we've just said, but they have a picture of Johnny Fairplay. He is bloodied. There are rags next to him that are covered in blood.
Well, the mouth bleeds a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing when somebody throws you sort of over their shoulder and you hit face first, you're usually loaded. Because when you're sober,
you put your hands down.
You fall off a motorcycle and your elbow gets skinned up. But your face, you don't lead with your cabeza. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get to the bottom of this. And I'll tell you a famous rock band fight story as well. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
What's What's up? This is Joe Rogan. You're listening to Adam Carolla, bitch. The real deal.
Hey, everybody. So, breaking news. Now, we were going to do who the F sells this S, but something came up. Our own Teresa Strasser and our own Danny Bonaducci, TMZ. A little fracas broke out over at the Fox Reality Awards, where Danny was a presenter. Last night. And just to recap, Danny's leaving with his lovely girlfriend, Amy, after doing a fine job, I'm assuming, presenting his award.
Yeah.
Johnny Fairplay, the blonde guy from Survivor 126, 127. I don't remember which Survivor. It was about five years ago he was on Survivor.
He came in third.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he would have come in sixth had he not pulled the "my grandma's dead" and people give it, hungry people start giving him their food.
Fun to watch, but not the kind of guy you'd want watching your kids.
Right.
You'd like to watch him. See, there's two types of people. There's the type you want to watch, like professional wrestlers, cage fighters, and Johnny Fairplay. And then there are the ones you want to watch your loved ones. They're never the same person.
Right.
All right, so he's up on stage. Everyone is booing him. Danny's leaving. A producer says, "Danny, get up on stage." Danny says they're booing you because they hate you. He walks off stage.
All I say. Because there's cameras everywhere, so believe me, my version of the story is going to be backed up from 50 different angles.
And you believe that the show is over now.
I'm not sure. I just know I'm leaving. My part's done, and they'd had so much problems with generators and stuff. They were having problems keeping people in their seats anyway.
You're going to take your gift bag and go home.
That's exactly what I did. But so was everybody else. There was a line for the valet.
Right.
I mean, this didn't seem like a big deal to anyone while we're all waiting for our valets, including me. But I said, they're booing you because they hate you. And I walked off, and like I said, he just ran full speed, and he's about my size. Like, he's probably a little bigger because I was wearing my gigantic
heels.
He's
a taller guy than you.
So he literally jumps on me, which almost knocks me over from the force of running. And then I guess in just one motion, now I'm not positive of this because he could be lighter than I think, but it would seem to me to get him that far over my head, it had to be in his own velocity.
Mm-hmm.
He ran, leapt on me, arms around the neck, legs around the waist, and I just grabbed the butt of his pants and just kept pushing. And he went up and over my head, and I waved goodnight to the audience and took a bow and went home.
Did you hear him land or hear him scream?
No.
There was any commotion where he landed?
I saw him get up and touch his lip, but I thought he was going to go right back out and get booed some more. I mean, it didn't look like anything happened.
You can go to the TMZ site and see the stills, which are very graphic.
Ooh.
Yeah, now, obviously the kid got hurt.
It seems like...
By the way, if you're thinking of suing me, I'm thinking of asking for your blood test results.
Now, do you think he was high?
I think I don't know if he was high or not.
Seems like something a drunk guy might do. And everyone gets loaded at those award shows anyway. And again, you could sue him. He's the guy who attacked you.
I was thinking about it. I actually asked Amy the first thing this morning. I said, should I call the police right now to head this off? Because he's gonna.
Sure.
Should I call the police and say I've been attacked on stage in front of people? And then I thought, these cameras will cover me. There's no two ways about it. I didn't think they might be off, but somebody has to have it on a cell phone or something. I mean, there were cameras everywhere.
Well, we'll keep everyone posted. We'll see maybe if we can get Johnny Fairplay, although I guess I'm assuming he sleeps in. I don't know if he has a day job.
I don't know whether I know he was taken away in an ambulance. It looks like that. I don't know for sure, but that's what it looks like from the photo and various video.
Well, I have a great story about stage antics, and I'm assuming he was playing it up for the crowd and screwing around with someone who he didn't know was screwing around. Now, here's how it works. If you're going to go up on stage with a guy and pretend to punch him or do whatever it is, you work it out backstage so that the guy on stage doesn't think you're legitimately trying to screw around.
Right.
And Danny is the first guy who wants to screw around as long as you guys have a discussion about it before you go out on stage. On the other hand, if you don't have a discussion of it and he doesn't know you, then he's assuming he is being throttled and he throws you over his shoulder. I was at the K-Rock Weenie Roast in 1998 standing on the side of the stage watching Green Day perform, one of my favorite live bands. And I made sure and go up there to watch them. And I was standing 8 feet away from the band, just in the wings, just right on the edge of the stage, rocking out, had my buzz on, when the lead guitarist from Third Eye Blind decided to go up on stage and screw around with one of the guys from Green Day. Well, I won't tell you how it ended. It did involve a bottle, a skull fracture, and a huge Samoan guy.
Jeez.
I saw it all go down, and it's a two-parter, and I'll tell you that story, plus the news. T.
You've heard some of it, but I'll also get into what's going on with Britney.
Mm.
And what did somebody in the crowd chant as Johnny Fairplay was being loaded into the audience?
Well, we'll do that, and I'll tell you the rest of my Green Day, Third Eye Blind, skull fracture story next.
Still to come this morning, HGTV's home improvement guy, Eric Stromer, and your home improvement questions with Adam Carolla. We'll talk with Dylan McDermott. He's got a new show, and he's a lady killer.
I am, only on the inside.
The Daily Show's and the Heartbreak Kid's Rob Corddry, and some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's vault.
Yay! I like Adam!
Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, before we get to the news, my own story of a stage attack or stage stunt gone horribly wrong, and this time with a skull fracture. I was at the K-Rock Weenie Roast, big concert out here in Southern California they have every summer. In
huge.
1998. I was standing, it's 10 bands, 12 bands play. You get there at 2 in the afternoon. You start boozing. Somewhere around 9 o'clock, you're lit up like a Roman candle. Yeah. And then you go out on stage and go, hey, where, Drew, where are we? Irvine. Irvine, let's have a party! And then you go back up and start boozing some more, and that's really all you have to do. There's certain bands you want to watch and certain bands you don't want to watch. There's 12 bands. You're not going to watch every band, but when Green Day hits the stage, I want to watch. Great live band. So I'm standing right on the wings, just right on the edge of the stage with the roadies and the whoever guys over at the Irvine Meadows, and there's Green Day rocking their ass off. And here comes Arian Salazar, who's, I believe, the lead guitar player for Third Eye Blind.
Right.
You remember that band? Oh, it was Bass on Bass Love.
Bass on Bass Crime.
Wow. That's what happened.
Huh. And last night was Bass on Face Crime.
Now, Arian is a diminutive guy, a cute little guy. He's Hispanic, I guess, a little hipster Hispanic guy, and a real nice guy. And I know the guys from Green Day, and I know the guys from Third Eye Blind. And he hops up on stage, or he runs from the wings. I didn't see where he came from. And he plays like he's a groupie. He runs out on stage like, oh, I'm on stage. And then he goes up behind Mike Dirnt, the very intense bass player for Green Day, and he starts hugging him, like down on his waist from behind, sort of the same thing that was happening with Bonaducci, giving that, oh, I'm such a fan, or you're my hero. I guess it was just one bassist to another, sort of, you rock my world. Well, the huge Samoan guy who's in charge of security did not know this guy was in a band called Third Eye Blind and had no idea who he was other than there's some dude on stage and he's hugging the dude I'm supposed to protect. So I'm going to get rid of this guy. So he comes up, the big Samoan guy turns around, throws Arian Salazar down and starts to sort of subdue him. Meanwhile, the bass player from Third Eye Blind, who doesn't know what's going on because he's behind him, he's hugging him from behind, turns around and looks, sees it's Arian Salazar from Third Eye Blind, and then looks at the huge Samoan guy, and now, as I stand 6 feet away, think this is the time where he goes, dude, this guy's cool. He's not some crazed fan who jumped up on stage. This is another bass player from a band that played two bands ago. And he looks at the Samoan guy and he looks down at Salazar and he proceeds to boot Salazar.
No.
Like he kicks him. Like you think there's going to be this moment where he goes, it's cool. And he says, it's not cool. Continue the beating. So he boots Salazar and Salazar gets roughed up and Salazar gets dragged off stage. And then, after their set, I'm walking out of the back area, or I'm standing in the back area, probably boozing up again. And here comes Green Day out through the backstage, down the ramp, and starting to walk across the parking lot. And I'm looking at him going, hey, there's Green Day. And a shadowy figure jumps out from behind a trailer. There are all these trailers set up, and smashes a bottle over the head of the bass player from Green Day.
Jeez.
That was Salazar exacting his revenge. Well, he had a skull fracture and blood was everywhere. It was bass on bass crime. He El Kabong the bass player with a bottle.
Well,
let me ask you something in your professional opinion, Mr. Carolla.
Mm-hmm.
Here is, it's not the beginning of the event. They're getting more pictures as time goes by, but there's Fair Play who has just come running across the stage and done that to me.
Yes, he has jumped up and mounted.
Now, the next shot is this.
Bonaducci.
Wait, no, the next shot is...
All right.
You see Johnny Fairplay straddling Bonaducci with his legs around your waist. And you have a playful expression on your face.
TMZ.com.
Yeah. Oh, and I see the next picture, and it's a little hard to make out, but
this is radio.
If you stare at the next picture, is flip-flops and jeans in the air as Bonaducci raises his hand. So it's obviously he's going ass over tea kettle somewhere, because if his knees are on your shoulders and his head is nowhere in sight, that means something's going to hit the ground soon, and it's probably his face.
Yeah. His teeth.
You know what's funny? Because normally I would let my phone do the one buzz thing and ignore it.
Yeah.
But I am getting so many calls from so many lawyers saying, most of them are saying I was there, which I can't imagine it was a whole audience of lawyers.
Well, it could have been
saying
two or three.
I was there. I'm getting either, I hate Johnny Fairplay, you rock, or I'm getting lawyers up the butt, if you'll pardon the expression, saying that not only will they defend me free of charge if he tries to sue me, but we will counter-sue because they have now seen these pictures and agree with me that I was attacked. This could turn out interesting.
By the way, just a quick side note to the 98 Weenie Roast where the Green Day incident took place on the van ride back. And I say van, I mean bus, one of those shuttle buses that held 30 people from the venue back to the Marriott. Kimmel farted it up so badly that the bus driver stopped, pulled over, stood with a can of air freshener and sprayed it in the hall of the bus, and people were hanging their head out the window, except for the bus windows that only cracked at the top 6 inches.
Right.
So they had to stand up out of their seats and push their face sideways like dogs out of the thing. And the more serious they got, the harder Kimmel laughed. All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. T, give another news tease so we can get back on time a little bit. And I don't want to give your news short shrift. So give the tease. We'll get back on time and we'll give you a full unadulterated news next.
I can finally explain to you exactly why Britney lost physical custody of her kids this week. We'll talk a little about the Isaiah verdict and a little more inside info on Bonaducci's fight with Fair Play.
All right, we'll do that next. Again, it's all unfurling on TMZ. Oh, and I will play, well, I'll tell you what. Hold on 1 second. I want to play my TMZ clip now, and then we'll do the news, and I won't, because I promised to play it a couple of breaks ago and I got sidetracked. I have a bone to pick with your own TMZ.
My
Teresa
own
Strasser. That's right,
barely on it, Adam, you know.
You own the show. Your people own show business. You should know that.
We also run international banking.
And I was watching, I think it was two nights ago, they had a dance competition, celebrity dance competition, vote on the winner of the celebrity dance competition. It involved a few people who, well, Tom and Kate, what's her nose? Kate, well, here's the problem with the Bennifers and the Tomcats and all that kind of stuff. I forget people's names now. It's no longer Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. It's Tomcat or Bennifer or something. Yeah. And when I try to come up with their full name, all I'm coming up with, like, Kitten Benatar, Pat Kittentar. Jesus Christ, what's everyone's name anymore? It was between them, some Asian chick I'd never seen, and
Biling.
Yes, and then this person.
It's time for Dancing with Our Stars. Contestant number two is bringing back the funky chicken. Meet Lost Star, Biling. That's clucking awesome. Our third contestant
did
is competing from beyond the grave, but
did
these
not
now we have to start again. Now we have to start again.
I had to separate myself.
You didn't write clucking awesome?
No.
Okay, you're lost, baby. Because someone's winning a
Emmy, Peabody.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Sorry to interrupt. All right, I
understand. T didn't write any of this copy.
Yeah.
Now sit and squirm.
That's clucking awesome. Our third contestant is competing from beyond the grave, but these moves will never die. Anna Nicole Smith at a bar mitzvah she just wandered into, dancing the horror.
No, really,
that's what it's called. That right. Little guy. He became a man that day.
The woman died at what? 35 years of age?
We can't call her a whore? Just because she's got a baby who's still alive?
Yes, she has a baby who's still alive. Her kid died right before she died.
She's a dead whore.
And she died. This is not Leona Helmsley we're talking about. Now, it isn't Madame Curie either. It's
a sweet woman with a drug problem.
It's just a drugged up model who died at, I don't know, half or less than half of the average age a woman dies.
But
Anna Nicole was, I don't know, 35, 37. I don't know how old she was.
It was a clucking tragedy.
And what? How long ago did she die?
I know what the point is.
Months ago?
She did die at approximately half the age of the average woman. On the other hand, she died at almost twice the age I had money on.
Well, that's a good point.
You know, she wasn't trying real hard to linger.
I am just saying there was a time when you didn't make fun of people who died, especially before their time.
Yeah.
Right. And then if they did die before their time, you had some sort of 3-year rule.
Yeah, that's been truncated.
You had to wait. I don't know when she got put into the ground.
Body is getting cold-ish now.
Yeah, rigor mortis starting to set in.
She does have a baby who's living. That's right.
She has a living baby who celebrated their 1-year birthday.
Turned one.
A month or so ago, so she can't be in the ground for 2 years.
Yeah, between 1 and 2.
I'd say she went into the ground. It's hard to tell because all the crazy coverage, but it feels like 9-10 months
ago.
Like
February or March.
Okay, so the point is it's, 6-7 months. We're calling her a whore. The real important thing. But here.
With that hilarious pun.
Here's the real tragedy.
Wordplay.
She didn't win. She didn't win the dance competition, which is the ultimate slap in the face. You know what I mean? I mean, there's one thing in life you're guaranteed. If you're up for an Emmy or a Tony or an Oscar and you die,
you should win.
You're almost always going to get
posthumously.
Always going to get February 8th.
And what is it?
Well, it's still 07. We got a while before we're at 07.
9 months.
All right. I'm just saying, is there anything sacred anymore?
And the answer is no.
I guess no. All right. Nice work.
She didn't even win.
Hold your head up high. As a matter of fact, give me that Emmy. I'm going to melt it down and make a keychain.
I don't deserve it anymore.
That's right. I'm officially taking it back.
I feel like a plucking fraud.
We will take a break.
You took a shot there.
The plucking fraud will do the news next. Well, as a matter of fact, I would like to give a shout out to the retarded safety Gestapo in this effing city and all your crappy cities that do nothing but give you the clicketer ticket. Message blown up your tukai constantly when there's a placard that lights up when you don't put your seatbelt on in your car. So thus, why tell us to do something that's already being done by our own vehicle? But when I was watching CNN this morning at 5:10, I saw some footage from a school bus where some kids were being tossed around like rag dolls because they still haven't figured out a way to put seatbelts in the aluminum can that the 48-year-olds are sitting in. So all they do is tell us. And again, this is my problem with the government. I don't have a problem with the government saying, don't gamble. Gambling's bad. I have a problem when they're telling me not to gamble and I'm passing a long line out front of the liquor store where the retarded people of color are buying lottery tickets. I don't have a problem with the government telling me to wear my seatbelt, except for they haven't decided to put them in the school buses, except for everything. The kids are our future and we have to pad everything and belt everyone in. And if you put your kid in your car, and you don't belt them in 10 ways to Sunday, then you'll get a ticket and probably have the kids taken away like Britney Spears. But you can take them from your car to the bus stop, in which case he'll get in the school bus with the other 70 kids and then be thrown around the bus.
Bounce all around.
On the other hand, maybe they may have a compelling point because the other footage I see from every school bus is kids getting the crap kicked out of them by irate moms, sisters, and other students. So maybe you don't want your kid belted in because he might have to make a quick escape from the heavyset woman who's coming down the hall to exact her revenge because you smacked her kid for his lunch money earlier that week. So I'm now mixed.
You have mixed emotions about this now?
Just shut up with the click of her ticket, you effing tards. We get it. It's a seatbelt. It's in a car. We have to put it on. I understand it. Now shut up or put them in the buses. That's all.
Sounds fair.
Sorry, T.
No problem.
What were you doing?
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Lot of commotion this morning here on the Adam Carolla Show because our own Danny Bonaducci is a felony suspect in a battery case.
What does that mean, felony suspect?
Well, it sounds like Johnny Fairplay, after your altercation, may have filed a report.
Right.
I can get that information for you very quickly from my friend at TMZ.
I can guarantee you he filed a report.
But in any case, as we discussed earlier over at the Fox Reality Channel,
Can I butt in quickly, though? If somebody is injured,
mm-hmm.
if somebody has a gunshot,
mm-hmm.
now this is not knocking your teeth out, but if someone has a gunshot and the ambulance takes them to the hospital, he doesn't get to say, don't worry about who shot me. They say, who shot you?
Right.
And they want to know. If your mouth is bloody and somebody threw you over their shoulder, do they not say, who threw you over your shoulder and then have to file a report? I'm not saying he's not a scumbag. I'm not saying he didn't file a report. But
we don't know.
Are you sort of compelled when they say, the people driving the ambulance, aren't they sort of compelled?
Yes.
When
they ask, what happened?
What happened?
And he says, someone knocked my teeth out. They are now compelled. Yes.
To say, who knocked my teeth out?
Right.
Now, thus the felony.
If this case were to go to trial, he could refuse to testify. This happens a lot in domestic abuse cases.
Right.
The woman gets battered and she says, I don't want to testify against my husband. Now they don't have a case because she's the only witness.
And by the way, in my perfect world, when your wife calls up crying and saying that Jim Brown is beating the crap out of me, and then 2 months later sits there and says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm not going to press any charges. Great liar. You're going to jail now. Because that was a false report.
Right.
Right.
You wasted taxpayer time and money and tied up 911. Either your husband, Jim Brown, beat the crap out of you,
or
he didn't, and you lied and took up a bunch of tax money with cops and bailiffs and whatever. One of you is going to jail. Why don't you just discuss it? Perhaps he can beat the crap out of you in the next room and figure it out.
Now, as it appears from these photos on TMZ, it looks as though Johnny Fairplay ran up. He straddled you with his legs around your waist. You didn't know if it was scary or playful, so you tossed him.
If you look up, it's his hands that really bother me. His hands are around my throat.
His hands are around your throat. You pick him up and toss him behind you. Then you leave thinking, well, that was that. And it seems as though he has a couple teeth knocked out.
Well, actually, just because this guy bugs me, so I think I better be very careful here because I'm sure he's going to sue me. Which will be stupid with all these cameras. And then, of course, I will countersue.
Right.
Because I'll have to.
Mm-hmm.
But the word pick him up is incorrect. I don't have to pick him up. He's up. I just lean back.
He attempted to do, they'll cite a precedent. It was Dino versus Fred Flintstone.
Right. That's exactly right.
The case of Dino versus Fred versus the people.
Well,
he did what Dino would do to Fred when he came up the driveway.
Let me add a couple things to the story. I enjoyed
Hold on. Nice job, Brian. It's not like I discussed Dino and Fred.
Oh, yeah, ready.
I think it's time we break the fourth wall and tell everyone that we plan every single obscure reference before the show.
I have no discussions with Bald Brian about anything I'm going to say. No. I just make fun of him during the commercial for his bald head. That's all, and why he insists on playing softball on Football Sunday. Other than that, we have no discussions. He pulls up Dino and Fred in a matter of seconds. Sorry, T. Go ahead.
Well done, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
One of the photo captions of Johnny Fairplay and Danny says, come on, get violent.
Nice.
I enjoyed that.
Is that a TMZ-er?
Yep.
Nice work.
And also, They're reporting that while Johnny Fairplay was being loaded into the ambulance with a few, down a few teeth, someone in the crowd started chanting, "Team Bonaducci."
I like that.
We have audio.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, and Danny as well, because I watch TMZ religiously, I also then watch the other entertainment shows, A, I'm weak-minded, and B, it's part of my job.
Yeah,
right. And it's easy to do the part of your job that you enjoy, and I enjoy those kinds of lightweight tabloid shows. I've noticed the other shows upping their ante.
They have?
The other shows used to do a bunch of fluff celebrity pieces where they went shopping with folks from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman who you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And now they're doing more TMZ-esque coverage of celebrities.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Yeah, it used to be, getting your teeth whitened with the third lead from the Caveman Show.
Can I add to your story? Because this is getting weirder by the second.
Sure.
This is from E! News.
Okay.
Our sources say that Bonaducci was upset with Fairplay because he had publicly dissed Bonaducci on an L.A. morning radio show earlier in September. I think I was here earlier in September. Unlikely that I heard another morning radio show. But anyway, Bonaducci, known for his temper, had reportedly told a few people such as David Hasselhoff, Matthew May, Katy Texas fame, and Cindy Crawford that he was going to do this in a conversation that took place backstage of the award show. None of those people were there.
It is amazing how effed up news gets and how
off. It's incredible. Yeah.
Look, there was a nice big spread on me in Los Angeles Magazine.
Yeah, that was a great piece.
It was 9 pages long. In that article that was fact-checked and discussed ad nauseum with the guy who wrote it, it said that I got recruited to play football at L.A. Valley College, and the coach was Roman Gabriel at the time. Well, he was not the coach at L.A. Valley College. He was the coach at Cal Poly Pomona, who recruited me to play football. I ended up playing at L.A. Valley College. The point is this a reputable guy with fact checkers?
Yeah.
And they still managed to screw up a couple of facts.
Yeah, we all make mistakes.
In a 9-page article. So when you read an article, things are going to be screwed up. But when you're doing it on the fly and the next morning and hearsay and innuendo, when you read, you don't realize, and when I say you, I mean all the people listening who don't have articles or tidbits written about them. You have no idea how inaccurate all the things you read are until they write about you.
Right.
When they write about you, you realize, oh, no, that's not me. Oh, no, I never had that conversation. That's not what I said. 50% of it is inaccurate, not even with malice, just not right. I mean, you're saying you're talking to David Hasselhoff backstage. He's not even there.
Yeah, not even there. The guy's 6'7", I might have noticed. And those other people, I don't know who one of them are. And then it goes on to say, Bonaducci will be fined, but reportedly Fairplay will not be pressing charges. Why? Our inside sources say they heard Bonaducci threaten Fairplay by telling him, you know you deserve this, you know it. If you press charges, I will hunt you down and beat you so bad, you will think this incident was just the spanking that your mama gave you. Apparently, Bonaducci got his point across, because as of this morning, Fairplay has told persons close to him that he will let it go.
Here's the problem.
Okay, there's pictures of me just walking off the stage. There's no conversation with Johnny Fairplay.
Your reputation precedes you, though. Here's the problem. This is interviewing a mailman about a pit bull attack, and everyone goes, ooh, pit bulls are vicious dogs. They have a reputation. Danny happens to be a kindly pit bull.
Yes.
But
one of the nicer pit bulls.
He's known as a pit bull, and when Johnny Fairplay gets in with a pit bull, we'll do the quick math on who bit who.
Right.
Right.
Somebody has high praise for Teresa Strasser.
Oh, good.
Hey, Tony from the Bay Area.
What's going on, Adam?
Good name for TSV, by the way, the Bay Area. Yeah, you want to heap some praise on Teresa, who needs to take a Silkwood-type rape shower because of working at TMZ?
I've scrubbed my skin raw.
Teresa?
Yes?
You're the light of my morning. I don't even watch CNN or the other news shows because they're so right-wing. You tell me what I need to know.
Thank you, Tony.
Very nice.
Very kind.
Yeah, man.
I don't know who the hell that guy is that you beat up, But thank you for making my life interesting this morning on my drive to work.
I would like to say I did not beat up anyone, but thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much, Tony.
All right. Sorry, G. Continue with the news.
No problem. So just so we've got this, you know, clear.
Right.
No police have contacted you.
No.
You have not been charged with any crime, nonetheless, a felony.
Well, of being seen in public with Johnny Fairplay, I think, has some kind of criminal overtones, but no.
Do you expect the cops to stop by and pay you a visit?
I expect, if he said Danny Bonaducci knocked my teeth out for no reason, I expect that they will drop by out of their duty that they have to, but the pictures are right there, so I doubt anybody's going to do anything. There's a man with his legs around my waist and his hands on my throat for 3 seconds before he gets dumped on his head.
I will just add this to the story.
Hmm.
A source of mine has just contacted me, and I can't say who it is. This source was at the event and says, again, this is from a source. I cannot confirm it with a second source.
Right.
This person says that Johnny Fairplay approached him to ask for some marijuana.
What?
Wow. To smoke up.
Who's blowing up over there?
That's Danny.
Me. Oh, well, put it somewhere where the mic doesn't know it's there.
Sorry. Every lawyer and news magazine in the world.
I can dig it.
The source says that he did not have any marijuana on him, and thus they did not smoke up together. But Johnny Fairplay did ask him for some pot.
When you say him, do you mean me?
No.
The source.
Oh, okay.
Source
not
wanted
Danny.
To toke out.
The source wanted to toke out. And
Johnny Fairplay wanted to toke out with the source.
And this is a person who, if you were looking for some pot, you might assume that this guy might have some weed. But
all
it
right.
did not.
All right. Wasn't
so,
home.
I'm not saying he was high. I don't know whether or not he was high, but he was reportedly and allegedly trying to get high.
All right.
Okay. So now, would you rather hear about Isaiah or Brittany?
Let's go Brittany.
All right. Okay. Brittany. Now, you know, we talked about yesterday her checking into the Peninsula Hotel. She's now checked out. And TMZ is reporting that they know exactly what happened in court on Monday when Commissioner Gordon took away her kids. That is his name. His name is Commissioner Scott Gordon.
So funny.
He stripped Brittany of her kids. Now, here are the three factors that were the last straws for Gordon. First, she was supposed to sign a document that would have given the green light for a custody evaluator to conduct psychological evaluations. She was supposed to sign that document, get it to KFED's lawyer. She did not do so. Secondly, the judge ordered both KFED and Brittany to submit proof of having a valid California driver's license. She did not do so. She now has a valid California driver's license, or at least a temporary. They're going to send her the real one, but it took her quite a while. She showed up at the DMV the first time without her Louisiana license, which you need to get your California license.
Yeah.
Something most people would probably assume you needed. She forgot it.
The Louisiana license is on a Pop-Tart. So to be fair, that's just the way they do it. We laminate ours. They do it. The strawberry ones mean donor.
Yeah.
Means you're
that's
donor.
How you know.
Yeah, so the thing, ants could have gotten to it or could have sat on it.
The kids were gnawing on
it. Vermin could have gotten to
it. Brittany's missed a meal in a little while.
Here's the biggest reason.
Well, let me just say this. Half the people driving in Los Angeles, since half the people in Los Angeles are from Mexico illegally, don't have a driver's license. Or if they do, they got it over at Hancock Park.
Right.
All right.
Now, here's the biggest reason why Commissioner Gordon took her kids.
Hold on. Play the song. Thank you.
Thursday night, Brittany was at Sutra Nightclub in Newport Beach. Mm. Various people say they saw her drinking alcohol after midnight. According to Commissioner Gordon, neither Brittany nor KFED were supposed to consume alcohol within 12 hours of the time they obtained physical custody of the kids. Brittany picked up the kids around noon on Friday, which means she would have violated the order of Commissioner Gordon. So he got ticked off.
Holy intoxicated hillbilly. Jew woman.
So that's the story there. I will leave you with this.
Mm.
Did you watch the new Caveman show?
No, I am interested because couple things. First off, the ads looked kind of funny. I saw some of the spots. The Geico commercials were funny. And then some of the little snippets from the Caveman show look sort of interesting, clever, funny, what have you. Especially in a world where almost everything that's supposed to be funny looks lame when you see the commercial. But they did not release any previews to critics, so I hear. And to me, when I hear about a movie not being released to critics, as we spoke about, it's like not opening the trunk of your car for a cop. You're hiding something. Yeah. There's something right. You don't want them to know. So it should be bad, but what is it?
Well, I watched it. And I wouldn't normally have watched it, but I have to watch all these shows for TV Water Cooler where we discuss all the premieres. And I was, it exceeded my expectations, which were admittedly low. Mm-hmm. But I thought the characters were kind of likable and mm-hmm. relatable. And I actually thought it was an interesting allegory because the cavemen, there's some trouble with them dating sapes, Homo sapiens.
Uh-huh.
So interdating.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of a light look at that. But here is the intro to the caveman show.
It all started with us, the cavemen. Since day one, our people have always been where the action is. Sure, maybe not front and center, but if you're enjoying your modern civilization, you might want to send us a little thank you note. We're not that hard to find. We're right here beside you. We're really not that different from you. Just a little better looking.
That's a sound alike or feel alike of the Queens of the Stone Age song.
It does sound like that.
Yeah, let me explain how Hollywood works. You think, what would be a really cool song to play with our caveman thing? And then you go, Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, that's clever.
Well, that sounds cool. And then some guy says, Bob, get Sony or BMI on the phone and let's find out. And then they come back and they go, $250,000 to clear that song? No way. And then someone says, how about a sound-alike? And then somebody says, what's a sound-alike? And then someone says, Phil, you're fired. You should know what a sound-alike is. You've been at this firm for 8 years. Sound-alike is we get another band to play the Queens of the Stone Age song. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper. How much is that? That's $100,000. Ooh, how much for a feel-alike?
Right.
Well, a feel-alike is a song that reminds you of that song, but isn't that song.
Right.
But you can't make the feel-alike too much like the sound-alike or the actual song. Otherwise, you'll be sued.
We do this all the time. We have a Shaft sound alike and feel alike. It's used
Everyone
a lot.
Everyone has a Rocky feel alike.
Absolutely.
That sounded to me like a Queens of the Stone Age song, which we'll try to find for you. You do? Okay, let's hear that. You be the judge.
You be the judge.
It all started with us, the cavemen. Since day one, our people have always been where the action is. Sure, maybe not front and center, but if you're enjoying your modern civilization.
All right.
We're not that hard to find. We're right here beside
you. It's the beginning part. It's the play the... Right.
It all started with us.
Yeah.
The cavemen.
Feel alike.
Since day one, our people have always
been. By the way,
did
anyone notice the name of the band that played the original song?
Sure,
Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, really?
Stone Age. Queens of the Stone Age. I think that's probably why they thought of it.
Probably.
The band? Oh, yeah. Queen. Yeah, I brought that up 15 minutes ago, Baldy.
I was looking for music.
Yeah, but you look for your brain. Tell me when you find one of your ears.
I don't like it when you guys fight. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Oh, man, you are a genius. But then it was funny because you said the band that played it was Queens of the Stone Age. And I said, oh, it's a tribute band to Queens of the Stone. And you just had a little
Maybe you should do the tase
there.
With the marriage. That always cheers that.
Always,
Adam.
Yeah. I'm sorry!
All right, now you want to appease me? Play the Don't Tase Me, man.
Can you throw in the Liz Taylor?
Liz Taylor on top of the...
I assume we're not going to have to do a show.
You know what it's like? It's like when the old man starts playing the fiddle for Frankenstein. Oh. He's fired and he's freaked out. Oh! Then all of a sudden he starts playing the fiddle and it's like, oh. I'm all freaked out and then I hear
Don't
this.
Don't chase me, bro! Don't chase me!
Brian, good. We're friends.
See how equilibrium is restored with a little tase?
More Rogaine soup.
All right, quick break. The good news is Eric Stromer from Over Your Head, the Home Improvement Show, is coming in, and we're going to tag team some home improvement questions. This guy's no Ty Posington here. He's a real home improvement expert. His emphasis is on tile, but he knows every facet of home improvement, as do I. 866-901-ADAM. Call up, and we will gangbang your home improvement problem next.
from HGTV's Over Your Head.
Every day in Los Angeles County alone, we waste one football field times 33 stories in water that goes directly into the ocean from our drains. Pesticides, chemicals, all sorts of residue that could be prevented with drought-resistant planting.
The host of Over Your Head, Eric Stromer, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let me address, great to see you again, Eric.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Man's man.
A man's man.
In a mensch, as all the carpenters I used to work with. That's what they would say. Such a mensch.
Yeah.
When I would head out to the lunch truck with them.
That's right. They're all excited about Sukkot.
What about the lunch truck? I spent years being fed from that thing, and I can't believe I'm still alive.
I ate everything off a lunch truck too. It's a great gig, and there are territorial wars with lunch trucks.
Right.
If you are the lunch truck that's assigned to the crappy mini mall that I'm working in Chatsworth, and another one gets there 10 minutes earlier,
there's a lunch truck rumble.
There, you've seen two Mexican women go at it with spatulas.
That's right. It's bad news.
Oh.
Yeah.
But here's the protocol. The one comes out and slaps the other one across the face with a corn tortilla.
Exactly.
And says, you'll hear from my seconds.
And then the refried beans come at you.
And then the beans come flying. And then the squirt from the salsa dispenser blinds the one. And then the other one goes at her with a nonstick coated frying pan until there's winners declared.
That's right.
And then you get to pay more money, by the way. The lunch truck is not $2. The lunch truck is more money than the Carl's Jr. is up the street. It's just they're bringing the botulism to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, let me ask you this, Eric Stromer, from Over Your Head on HGTV. You worked where when you were doing it full-time? Out here?
As a contractor, yeah. I was out here in Los Angeles.
True or false, no Jew and no black man works in this field in Los Angeles.
False.
You worked with a Jew and a black man?
I did. I had an African-American plumber that was fantastic, and I had a Jewish guy that did finish carpentry that was very detail-oriented.
But in 10 years, one black guy and one Jew. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Tom Rowland, Washington.
It's bizarre, but you will. Now, if you go to Atlanta, you'll see plenty of guys, masons and things like that. But out here, it's a couple of white guys, mostly Latino guys, and that's about it.
What is your theory behind that, sir?
Here's what I think.
Okay.
I think the black man does not like that kind of labor because it reminds him of a past that was not so glorious.
I see.
Whereas the Jew just doesn't want to break a nail. I mean,
Who do you think built the pyramids?
I was going to say, they finished the pyramids a couple thousand years ago, and they went, feh.
Enough.
No more.
Dayenu, as my people say. Dayenu.
Yeah, Dayenu means never lift in another cinder block again.
I'm done
with this crap. And I think the brothers did it, too. They both were forced to do the kind of labor that you have to do when you build. I mean, sure, it's a cinder block or a concrete block wall in front of a house, but you're stacking blocks and putting them together with mortar. Not much different than a pyramid. And half the crap you do is not much different than being forced out in the field and picking cotton and doing whatever else.
You know,
you're toiling in the sun.
Yeah, and when you're doing the labor and you're doing demo, it is very, very difficult.
It's dirty,
filthy, rotten work.
That's
and
right.
Boy, did I do it for a long time.
It sucks. And the other thing that people don't realize is because they think, oh, you're up there with your shirt off and you're getting some sun and you're up on the roof and all that kind of stuff.
You're being covered in little tiny paint chips and
yes,
drywall.
You're
dust.
Busting up a bunch of stucco that was put there 80 years ago and you're sucking it all up.
Are you ever concerned with from your years of doing demo with all the issues with inhaling that
asbestos
stuff like asbestos and all that stuff?
Yes, I am.
So am I.
There was never any discussion about what we should do with the asbestos. As it turns out, asbestos, like I was talking to an asbestos expert once and he was like, oh, yeah, the asbestos is not just wrapping the heating pipe that's going through the middle of the house.
It's in the plaster. It's in the flooring, everything.
Oh, it's in the vinyl flooring that's in the kitchen. It's in the glue that holds the flooring down. I was taking a bite of a corn dog. He says that's an asbestos dog. It's literally everywhere. And if you were like Eric and myself and you spent 10 years busting up houses without using a respirator and then you have some Poindexter say there's asbestos everywhere.
Right.
makes you realize how many of those asbestos pipes did you bust down and drag out to the
dumpster.
And
it also makes you realize when you're doing anything, you got to have a respirator on or ear protection, just stuff to make sure that you protect yourself.
But real carpenters don't ever wear the eye goggles, which
never,
they should.
Never. Never.
I've spent so much time in the eye doctor having the tile chips removed from my eye.
I would do this very scientific move when I was up on the roof doing earthquake rehab, doing parapet braces and cutting angle steel with a carborundum chop saw.
Right. Oh, the hot little
we've all been there.
Embers flying and
sparks flying out like I'm we're doing action.
But might I say your skin looks fantastic.
Thank you. You know why? Because I would turn my head. Instead of wearing goggles and looking at where my hand was, I would just turn my head as hard as I could so the sparks would just hit the side of me.
That's right. Your left side's like a baby's face.
I gotta ask Eric Stromer, because Eric is not only a great carpenter, but ridiculously good looking.
Very easy on the
eye.
I love all of you, by the way.
Well, we love you.
Ahead.
And I imagine while you were fixing homes of women, that they must have hit on you a time or two.
You know, this is the necessary upside to the job.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to do what you can to make sure that you keep the peace. Yeah, I find myself, Adam, did you feel this way? You walk into a job, you're almost like a marriage counselor. You're sort of playing with the kids when they come home from school to kind of keep them busy while you're getting your work done. I ended up being like a marital therapist.
Well, really? A couple things when you're doing these jobs. And we're talking about remodels, home improvements, stuff in people's homes.
You're there for 7 months in their
you're
lives.
Part of
you
the
become
family.
Part of the family.
7 months, maybe a year and a half, and you do become part of the family, and there's no more stressful time for a family than when they've taken their master bedroom and moved it into the entry hall while you're rebuilding their master bedroom,
right?
Because there's a toaster oven where they used to put their keys when they came into the house.
Did you ever find the Love Aids in the side table when you were moving the stuff on? You
do find things when you're moving things around. I used to work for a custom closet company, and I'd clean out people's closets.
Right.
I was buried under an avalanche of butt plugs once. I still can't. To this day, I have trouble talking
between
about it.
Between that and the asbestos.
That's right.
But I will say this, the woman rules the roost.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The guys,
absolutely.
They underwrite the whole thing. The guys pay for it, but they're all pee-whipped. And so what ends up happening is you say to the guy on rare occasion, hey, listen, the home improvement store was out a quarter round, so I'm going with base shoe along this baseboard. And they go, wait till my wife gets home.
Right.
And you go, no, it's cool. And they go, wait till my wife gets home.
Right.
And you go, well, I'm telling you, and they go, no, talk to her, talk to her,
right?
Because they're so frazzled and so freaked out. I see here that you worked on Mel Gibson's home.
You know, that was so interesting because I was remodeling this condo for him back in the '80s, and I actually have the story to tell where I was at a store buying appliances, and I had to get on the phone to find out how wide the opening for his refrigerator was. So you're on the phone with Mel Gibson, and you're saying to everybody, hey, I'm talking to Mel Gibson. How wide is it, Mel?
Right.
He's giving you the dimensions in an Australian accent you don't understand. Anyway, I did get the fridge. Ultimately, it worked. He was a really nice guy, but he's very, very tiny.
I like the idea that you can be yourself.
Yeah, he's a small guy. He's like 4'1". He's like Webster size.
Really?
Yeah.
Hobbit.
Big hair. So he
most many celebrities, as I say the time, it's about symmetry.
Yes.
He has great symmetry, and then when you see Tom Cruise or Mel Brooks in real life, you realize, oh, here's a tiny guy with great symmetry, so the camera loves him as long as his co-star is
on a
5'10".
Well, speaking of hobbits, you also worked on Elijah Wood's house.
Yes. And actually, coincidentally, Dylan McDermott, who you are,
interviewing
today.
He's going to be on our show, perhaps?
He ended up selling that, and I think the second owner after he sold that house was to that guy,
Elijah Wood.
And I remodeled both of those homes. I tore out what I put in like 5 years earlier and redid it again.
Thank God you were drunk and did a horrible job the first time, so those tiles popped
off. They all stayed. It was amazing.
Well, we have home improvement questions. I have a bunch of them, and I'd like to get to them. We have Eric Stromer here from Over Your Head, new series, HGTV. You also remember him from NBC's Three Wishes. I was wondering.
And Clean Sweep.
Organization and design, man. That was amazing.
Easy on the eyes, easy on the ears. We will take ourselves a quick break, come back, and we will hit your home improvement questions next.
Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Adam Carolla.
Construction.
Hi, my name's Bertram. This the construction place?
Yes.
Yep, I'm your man.
You're your man. Oh, you are, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and how is that?
Well, I'm a damn fine carpenter.
You need to come in and fill out an application.
What's your name?
Jan.
Jan. Jan, let me be up front with you. I lost most of the fingers on my right hand to a hypoid saw.
Okay.
So I don't write real good.
Okay.
So the application thing's a little sketchy.
Well, actually, what you'd need to do is you would need to speak to a foreman.
Listen, I have a right leg, but it's the same as not having one.
Mm-hmm. Well, just so you know, it is for a hardware installer. You do have to have your own truck, and you do have to have your own tools.
72 Ford F-250, lumber rack, bed box, and a bumper sticker that says, Sierra Club, take a hike to hell.
Okay.
Kiss my ass, you tree huggers.
There you go.
Kiss it. The Sierra Club, those pansies, same guys who sat stateside while I was in NAM, in country.
Well, yep.
Knee deep in a rice paddy.
There you go.
Leeches size of frisbees on my neck, holding M16
right
over my head, looking out for Charlie.
Yep.
Goddamn cows were booby-trapped. You know about that.
I know.
Lost
I
a lot of friends
it
over there.
But you are alive, and that's a good thing.
But McCann isn't. And neither is Hernandez or Jackson or DiGiacomo.
Yeah.
Whole platoon went up. Espinosa, Big Ed.
But they're up
Ed
above.
No. Well, yeah, McCann and Hernandez is not Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah, he was into Satan.
You never know.
Me and him smoked hash out of a human skull.
You never know.
Sometimes I wish I was dead.
Yeah, well, no, you're on this good earth for
I don't
a
know
reason.
Sometimes when I'm up there on the scaffolding, you know, up on the third floor, I think about tying a twist lock cord around my neck and just diving.
Well,
just
no,
taking the big plunge.
If you're still here
just
and you've gone through all of that, you most likely wouldn't die anywhere because God's got a reason for you to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Tell that to McKay and Hernandez to Jack.
Oh,
to
I know.
Yeah, Pearson, Honeycutt.
Yep.
Manny.
So.
Moe and Jack.
So if you want to come in, sir, and speak with the foreman, you are more than welcome.
Left a piece of myself over there, you know?
Yeah, and they'll be more than happy to...
Three kids.
And
three or four
do what
kids
you need to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the only thing that made the pain go away was the heroin.
Oh.
And to chase that dragon.
Yeah, chase that dragon.
And then I come stateside, and I'm supposed to be cured?
No, nobody's never cured for life from that.
I'm shaving out of an army helmet. I'm getting shot at and banging underage whores, doing smack all day long. And I'm supposed to just get a job in a hardware store?
That's right. You're supposed to be a normal human being after all that, huh?
No wonder I took a claw hammer to one of the customers.
Yeah.
You guys do drug tests?
Yes, we do.
Which drugs does that cover?
All of them. They do a hair test.
I don't have hair. I'm like one of them cats. I'm burnt off.
Yeah.
Napalm mortar landed right. That's what took DiGiacomo.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I don't know. You'd have to speak to the foreman on that one.
You guys got 401k plan?
Yes, we do. Medical 401k.
Profit sharing?
I'm sorry?
Profit sharing?
Yes.
Paid vacation?
Yes.
I know this sounds crazy, but can I take this week?
Yeah, no, sir, don't work that way.
I was willing to die for this country. I can't get a week.
I know. That's how it is.
All right.
Okay.
God be with you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, remember those days, swinging a hammer in Vietnam.
Yep.
Eric Stromer in studio.
That poor man was in such pain, wasn't he?
He really was. Over your head. It's great when you listen to those calls because you can just... Now, that's what it sounds like when you're being blown off, everyone, when people go, yep,
That's right.
And they'll repeat the last word of your sentence.
Yeah. That's like trying to get a final payment on a contracting job, basically.
Yes.
Job's done. Oh.
Can't really you see I'm in pain here? They go, pain. They just
pain.
Do whatever the last word is. They repeat it, and then they make a grunt. That's how it works.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Stromer in studio over your head. HGTV.
The handsomest man in construction.
See? Can I just props to Danny, though, for literally throwing a man over his head? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
like a rag doll.
Like a rag doll.
I mean, no one's talking about how the ninja skill with which this man threw a man over his head.
Was it difficult? Did you strain?
No. Man, the guy just doesn't weigh anything. Or I was scared or so adrenaline or something because he just went flying.
Or superhumanly strong.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
But I did it because he wrapped his arms and legs around me like he was humping me.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, if you'd have done it, you'd have stayed right where you are.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank you
I'm
very
saying,
much.
Baby.
Until completion.
See, love is there.
Jeremy, you have a question for myself and Eric Stromer.
Jeremy,
how are you? I'm doing a shower, tile shower, and I was wondering if you guys had any recommendations for
shower pans that you can tile on.
Well, yes. You've picked the right guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Eric was a tile contractor.
A couple of different things you can do. If you want to pay somebody to come in and hot mop it, that's always, to me, the best. It's easiest to tuck the wire in and then float over that and make a beautiful shower pan. If you want
hot
to do
mop
it,
is
that's,
the,
that's a tar.
It's
right.
The tar, and the guy literally takes a mop dipped in boiling tar, and he swishes it around and makes a waterproof pan in the bottom of your shower. Same as the guy does right on the roof of your house, so it doesn't leak.
Yeah, it's about a $250 job for a 3x5 shower pan. Now, if you want to try it yourself, you can use the stuff called Pasco Liner, which is this
membrane.
A membrane that you essentially fold like origami into the corners, and then you again put wire over that and then float it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, though. It's tough. You gotta know your stuff.
And here's the deal: if you screw it up, you're screwed.
Yes.
And you should definitely test the pan and test the liner before you float it and tile it. You want to make sure it's
watertight,
because water will pass through the tile and the grout and everything else, and it'll start rotting out your bathroom floor.
And then mildew, and then death.
Right. Certain death by mildew.
From spores. I think that's a little overblown, by the way.
I say this to all the nut jobs out there that are being killed by black mold.
Yes.
First off, why does it have to be black?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying,
right,
brothers? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, there's enough, people have enough problems without calling the mold black. But here's the thing. Mold has been around for what? Two billion years before human beings ever walked earth? How come in 2003, all of a sudden, it started killing human beings? Because 2020 did a couple of half-baked reports on it, and a bunch of hypochondriacs who have allergies, who have indoor allergies. Look. Here's the rule,
and
everybody.
It also becomes a real estate transaction scenario problem where you can't sell a house now because it has mold, so you have to pay someone $10 zillion to eradicate it.
Here's how I work.
Yes.
You show me somebody with environmental allergies, I'll show you a nutty puss.
Or the boy in the plastic bubble.
Hypochondriac. Yeah, I'll either show you John Travolta in 1978, or I'll show you hypochondriac nut job puss.
Yeah.
Close cousin to the person who's in their early 20s, never played any sports or swung a hammer, but has chronic back problems.
Yeah.
I'll show you someone who's strung out on pain meds.
Yeah.
There's lots of things where it is code for I'm insane.
Right.
We need to stop treating those people like they're sane.
Right.
We need to stop sending reporters over to the people who see the Virgin Mary in a tortilla and start sending a guy with a butterfly net over there to put these guys into a house with a padded wall instead of a house with a tortilla shaped as a Virgin Mary. And the same with these pussy nut jobs who've been taking, the carpet, I'm allergic to the carpet, and the spores.
Allergens.
And,
I'm delicate. I'm tender.
Please do not go to the doctor. Go to the shrink. Lie down on the sofa and figure out what the F is wrong with your brain. It's not the spores.
I'd like to argue with you, but my fibromyalgia is acting up.
Now, are you saying people, because I don't fully understand, like they say they're allergic to wheat and stuff like that, they're just nutcases?
They're the guys that wear the diaper in the market and have the natural fabric bags for groceries.
Here's what I have to say about most of this stuff. I would say that 10% of the 90% of the people who claim they're allergic to peanuts are actually allergic to peanuts.
Right.
I would say the same thing with the indoor allergies people and the same thing with the spores people. Yes, there's always going to be one small subsection who does actually have a legitimate back problem, even though they've never lifted anything heavy and in their early 20s. That's the 10%. It's the same with disability. 90% of the people that say they can't work can work.
Oh, yeah.
For Christ's sake, you're sitting at a job in front of a laptop computer.
Right.
What are you doing at home? You're not in traction all day. You're sitting on your fat ass watching TV. What's the difference between sitting in an ergonomically correct chair from IKEA and doing work on a computer and sitting on your ass in your sofa and watching TV?
Get up, bend over, and pick some stuff up.
Right.
Yeah. Just don't stand back up.
Wait a minute.
Down on a low shelf.
You dropped your self-esteem. Perhaps you should pick that up. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All right, where the hell were we? Yeah, shower pan.
Those are your options. You can do the hot mop with the tar. You can do the Pasco liner. There are other products out there. Or you can do a prefab, which is like a plastic molded fiberglass pan that slips into a corner. Then you tile up on top of it.
The hot mop is going to be good for 50 years or so, depending
50 to 75 years. I pulled them out from 100 years ago. They had them, and it was okay.
It depends.
It
I used to always say, tell my customers when I was doing the hot mop, it's between 50 and 90 years, depending on how fat your wife is and how often you do her in the shower.
Yeah,
because
right.
that because that can cause some stress fracturing
movement.
There.
Anytime there's movement.
Any movement. Yeah.
Way overrated, by the way. I think I mentioned that last time.
Yes, you
doing
did.
It in the shower,
no.
Super way over. Somebody's cold on their back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the chick, usually, if you're polite, has got hot water running down her back.
And, well, then there's the spray.
You're just getting
the
that mist, right. Which mm-hmm. is just cold by the time it hits you. So she's having a luscious old time, and you're freezing
or
your
drowning.
Sack off.
She's drowning.
Or she's drowning. Either way, under any circumstances, and this is a tip from your old Uncle Dan.
Yes.
Almost all possible ways to make love in water are highly overrated.
Right. Unless you install a grab bar, one of those things where you really have the ability to hold on tightly.
Right.
Which I can tell you how to do in a shower.
Those grab bars are initially invented so old people could have sex in the showers, but or maybe just hold themselves up.
People with back problems.
Grab bar around the toilet. Hey, Amanda?
Yeah.
You have a question?
Oh, I do. Okay, so about 5 years ago, we bought a house, as a 1957 house, and it needed massive, cosmetic upgrades. And I should say my husband's extremely handy. He, you know, knows all about drywall, all about paint, and he's very, very organized and very,
very Wait, Amanda, can I ask you a question? If he does a project, are you compelled to have sex with him?
It depends on what it is. If it involves being in the backyard with a chainsaw and I see no value add for me, you know, not so much.
No, okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's that's not hot it's seeing him with the chainsaw?
No, because I just see him walk randomly around the backyard with a chainsaw.
So if he's cutting down a tree you like, no sex, but if he's putting up stencils of unicorns in the kids' room like some puss would do, you'd want to have sex with him. Ironically, that's a gay man, and he'll not oblige. How dare you?
Unfortunately, if it involved doing some sort of home improvement project to get laid, I would have never had sex in my life.
Well, I only offer you this sort of background information because I don't want it at all leave you with the impression that he's not good at the stuff or that he's not very, you know, he's very good at the
stuff. He's handy, but what's the job?
The problem is about 4 years ago, he stripped out all of our baseboards, door casings, window casings, and he...
stripped the paint off them?
No, took the old ones off.
Removed them.
Is he a classic non-finisher? Is that what you're saying?
In this situation, for some inexplicable reason, yes.
Yes. He finishes very quickly, but when it comes to remodeling.
Yes. This is an incredibly important topic to talk about. If you start, you got to finish. This is the whole point of my show. People get into these projects and they can't complete them. We have to come in and help them.
Right.
I really want you to become a finisher. That's
right.
All.
Yeah, and I don't understand because, like, he rebuilt a whole closet in our kids' room, you know, did the drywall, did the door casings there and everything. It looks beautiful. I mean, literally, I called the hall bathroom the peekaboo potty for a year. It had no casing on it.
Yeah,
and eventually, I just took some duct tape. So people, when they were in there, weren't feeling totally exposed.
Right, because you could see through it. Well, what's the question? How to motivate your husband?
Well, it's a two-part question. The first part is, right now, they are up. They are, you know, they've all been cut. They're up with sort of like nails that have been tacked in place.
The crown molding?
Yeah.
The crown molding, the door casings, the baseboard.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They're in place, but they have never been finished with finishing nails, and they have never been puttied.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has been going on for 3 years.
All right. Okay,
you know, phone call?
Adam.
Yes.
Adam, he may need a classic dose of shame. Should we call him and shame him?
We should shame him. Hey, Amanda?
Yeah, you want to shame him?
Is he there?
You'd have to call him at work.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'd do it if we could do it in 10 seconds, but I don't think we can.
Yeah.
All right, look, first off.
Can I finish it, or should I?
Yes.
You got to do
Why
it.
Why not?
You go buy the tool belt, you put the stuff on, do it yourself, and that will it'll make him motivated to try
something. That's the best way to shame
That's
somebody.
Exactly right.
You just go do it yourself. All right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to shame him, but so what do I need to do?
Do you have a nail gun?
We have it, yeah. And my next door neighbor's a contractor, so he's a really good one.
Oh, good. All right. Well, wait till he falls asleep.
Bust a cap.
Put it against his temple. Make it look like an accident. All you have to do is take a 6-foot A-frame ladder and knock it over right by him, and it'll just look like an accident. You hammer the insurance check.
And find somebody you are attracted to when they're with a chainsaw. Let's move on. Come on.
Children, that doesn't bode.
All right, listen. Use a nail. Quiet. Use a nail gun and finish it off. It's already all tacked up. You just have to nail it off and use a little painter's caulk.
That's
and,
a one-person job.
It really is.
Yeah, if the stuff's already up and in place.
You could do it in a day and a half. It'll be very easy to do.
All right. Let's do one
but
more
call. But
how does
she remasculate her husband? That could take weeks.
Well,
maybe years.
Maybe years, yeah.
Yeah,
Jim?
Maybe never.
Yo.
Yo, what's your question? Eric Stromer here, by the way, from Over Your Head on
Jim,
HGTV.
Good. How's it going? Oh, Adam, first of all, your little tapping move has saved my ass so many times. Mm-hmm. I can't even thank you.
That's good advice.
What tapping move?
You've said that if there's
like a
problem. Yeah, go ahead.
Drain, clean out, you need to get, and the thing won't budge.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the old East Wing and tap, 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 till that thing finally frees up.
Mm-hmm.
That thing has saved me so many times.
East Wing's a hammer, but yes, thank
you. Yes, you said tapping is a solution to a lot of problems. I had a stuck light bulb I couldn't get out. I just tapped it.
It breaks. The concussion will break things loose, like it breaks your brain loose from your skull. It just does.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tap that. I'm bored. I'm just going to tap that right now.
So your question, Jim, is what?
I'm installing a wooden mantle on a brick fireplace.
Mm.
Oh.
How do you attach to the brick?
Masonry drill.
Many different ways to attach things to masonry. Now they have a lot of new products. I like a Tapcon screw. It's that blue screw where you don't have to put a liner or a shield in or a lead shield or anything like that. You can literally just screw it right into the masonry. I would say use one of those blue Tapcon screws.
Yeah,
what would you say, Eric?
And then you can put a little piece of hardwood on there that's cut at an angle, and then you do the reverse angle on the back of the mantle and literally just plug this thing in like a lack shelf would be plugged on.
You would hang it.
You would hang it off that piece of wood that you attached.
Yeah, 245 sitting on each other.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For people that can't realize or can't visualize that, you take a piece of wood that has a 45-degree angle on it, a long piece of wood that runs along the long side.
Right.
You take the short side and you put it against the wall so that the 45-degree angle sticks out so that if something dropped in, it would suck in toward the wall instead of spill off it. Then you take a piece that is the same with a long 45 on the long side. You do it the opposite way, and as you drop it on, it just sucks into the back of it. I don't know if there's any better way to explain
it. That's a good explanation. And then it's hidden behind the mantle. You don't see any brackets on the outside, and it's a real clean way to get an installation.
Now, am I going into the mortar or the brick?
You can go into either. I would go into the brick and drill with a masonry bit, which is a bit that's used to go through masonry like brick or tile.
Right. If we have to explain to you what a masonry bit is, son, you're in over your head. But listen, Jim.
Yes.
If you buy those Tapcon screws, they'll come with the bit that fits the screw diameter. It'll be just a little bit smaller. Blow it out and then tap away, buddy.
So I don't want to use a quarter-inch screw with a half-inch bit?
No. And you don't want to use a half-inch screw with a quarter-inch bit either. Believe it or not, the bit will be just a little bit smaller.
Okay.
All right. Go buy those blue Tapcons.
And get safety glasses.
You're the king, Adam.
That's right. Thanks.
That's
the king of boring radio.
That's right.
No Hugh Hauser drops during this whole bit.
Yeah,
what?
This is amazing.
Thank
you didn't want to offend Eric Stromer when I do this.
What
you're
gifts?
Like,
he's a guest. He's been nice to him.
Over your head, name
you
of the show.
You're having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff.
See?
HGTV. And again, he's no Ty Posington.
No, I'm not. We're on 11, by the way, in the morning on Saturdays, and 11 p.m. on Thursday night.
Ty, you're not a jackass.
We're going to have a marathon. I need an over-your-head marathon.
Any holiday season, I'll be on forever and ever and ever.
Good.
Yeah. He is the real deal, and as I said, no beef with Ty Pennington. It's just he's not a carpenter.
Why all the hating?
And Eric Stromer is a carpenter, and every day when I see those Bayer aspirin commercials where he's just put the finishing touches on the cancer ward of the hospital and then turns toward the camera and says,
Ty, you're not a jackass.
I want to crawl out of my skin.
Whenever I think of that, I think of that song, If I Were a Carpenter and You Were a Lady, mm-hmm. I have no interest in you because I'm Ty Bennington. But yeah. I heard that he gets mad about stuff like that.
Well, I will say this. Eric Stromer is not only the real deal, but easy on the eyeballs as well.
Wow. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
He's the thinking man.
That's right.
Ty Pennington.
Yeah, see how that is. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, man. We'll take ourselves a little break when we come back. I think when we come back, we'll do our Who the F Sells This S. Again, I have ads from Craigslist and Penny Saver, people selling golf balls for 75 cents and clothes hampers for a nickel. We're going to call these people and find out what makes them tick next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Ever notice some of the weird stuff people are trying to sell on Craigslist?
Knife block. Perfect condition, but no knives. $1.
Sold. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's see. Let me update you guys. We called the guy who has the brand new Hanukkah menorah.
Oh.
$4. Brand new Hanukkah menorah. If you're interested, please email. Well, we emailed and we called him and he told us to go to hell.
Why?
He hates the goyim.
Wow. That's not the Hanukkah spirit.
It really isn't.
You know what? I happen to be a goyim, and I would hate the goyim that called me at this hour.
Here is one of my favorites. These are the super cheap and weird items from Craigslist. This is one of my favorites. Now, it may seem like I'm misreading some of this stuff. A lot of it is just typos and grammatical errors. Wanted, meat scrap, trim and other discarded parts of meat. Cleaning your freezer? Read this. Hello there. I'm posting this ad because I make my own dog food.
Oh.
Due to one pup's skin condition.
Oh.
No.
Just imagine spending time with this cat. T.
Yeah.
Has there been a less attractive man constructed on the internet? He has this puppy with a skin condition. Ugh. He makes his own dog food, but he doesn't go to the butcher and get the meat. He puts ads out on the internet so he can get scraps from strangers to make his own dog meat. And God knows there's some human flesh in that mill.
Resourceful.
I guarantee you there's some dead hooker grist for his mill. Now, here's the part I like.
I haven't seen that flavor at the Ralph's.
Oh, it's next to the giblets and chicken.
Now he places the lotion in the basket.
Freezer burned or slightly ripe meat may not be good for humans, but it's just fine for dogs.
Is that right?
Here's a one guy who simultaneously loves dogs more than any man and simultaneously hates them more than any human being. On one hand, the guy makes his own dog food, so you think, here's a guy's in love with the pup.
In love with his pup.
The other side of him is Michael Vick, because it doesn't matter if the stuff's gone bad, the dog will eat it anyway.
Can we reach this man?
We shall try.
There was an old thing people used to do to make their dogs more vicious, and that was sprinkle their food with gunpowder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Probably this guy's grandfather.
Yep.
The ripe food or the ripe beef is just fine for the pups. Also, feet and organs, especially the liver and stomach from beef, poultry, pork, goat, lamb. The meat people don't like very much is great for the pups as well.
Oh, good.
Now, imagine, now who's worse, just hypothetically? Who's going to be worse? The guy who puts the ad out for the goat lips and feet, or the guy who backs the truck up to the guy's apartment and says, guess who has a hefty bag full of animal parts?
Yeah, I would have to say okay, because I'm not really sure what the guy's going to do with the animal parts. He only claims he's going to make dog food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might be making a skin suit. We don't know. So with what I don't know, I'm going to make him the super freak. But if he is doing what he says he is doing, then the guy that has the spare animal parts and makes the phone call goes, dude, I got exactly what you're looking for. I got goat lips right here. I'll bring it right by. That's the super weirdo.
Well, it gets weirder because he doesn't have cash, but he can trade you homemade baked goods. Because I'm sure that kitchen he's in whipping up the dog food with the goat ass is like a... OR. It's probably sterilized, like the finest hospital. So you can get some baked goods from the same kitchen, homemade bread, or unopened toiletries. So you get yourself some stick deodorant that has not had the cherry popped on it yet. Huh. All right, hold on. Dina's on line 8. Oh, do we have an intro? Oh, sorry.
Let's find out who the f*** sells this s***.
Is this Dina here? Yes, Dina has a laundry basket she's selling. Dina?
Yeah.
You sound like you're on top of the world looking down on creation.
I tell you.
You're selling a laundry basket for
$2. Yes, indeed. You can't beat that price.
No, you can't.
You really can't.
I've shopped around. You can't beat that price.
Although the person who sells it to you can beat you when you enter their condo and then stash your body in the oven. That's the problem I worry about.
Have you had any calls, Dina, on your $2 laundry basket?
Yes, I have.
This is from the Penny Saver. And are they saying things like, I'll go $1.50, but $2 is a little rich for my blood?
No, they say affirmative.
They say affirmative.
They say affirmative. So only the military calls you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Dina.
I'm doing my best work here, kids. I'm sorry.
Do you have another laundry basket? What happened? You got a laundry basket for Christmas last year, and now there's no use for the old one, or have you just stopped doing laundry?
No, I just had it for a while, and it's just sitting there.
You don't use it anymore?
No, I don't use it.
But it's got the word basket right in it. You know, you could put other things, like do you have grandkids?
No, I don't have them yet. Not yet. It's too soon.
Too soon. How old are you?
Oh, me? No, I'm talking about it's too soon for the kids. They're too young.
Your kids are too young.
Yes.
Right. How old are you?
38.
Oh, you're 38.
Oh.
You seem like you've seen a lot in your 38 years, Dina.
Oh, yeah.
Has life been good to you so far?
It's been, I'm a blessed woman.
Because you survived the abusive relationship you were in for 21 years?
Don't have that.
What happened to your man?
You know what? I don't even put up with him.
Is he still around?
I don't put up with him at all.
Does he do a little drinking?
No.
Do you not put up with him by being divorced from him, or does he live with you?
No. I just don't put up with the malarkey at all from
no
anybody
malarkey.
In the world.
Was this felony or misdemeanor malarkey?
No.
Is this aggravated malarkey or battery malarkey?
Or did it jump right over the shark and go into monkey business?
It jumped right over the shark, went into monkey business.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking, talking about cheating on you, or...
Huh?
Are we talking about cheating or violence or drinking?
Oh, nothing. No, nothing. I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. That's all.
Hey,
I
wait
just,
a second.
I just live my life. You know what I'm saying?
Are you married or not?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're single.
What she's saying is she doesn't
you don't want to
hang out with guys because they're a pain in the ass.
I'm
you're
single
right.
and free.
Right. And
death row.
Do you have an ad on the Craigslist? You know, you can go on Craigslist and meet single people as well. Although you're in the Penny Saver, I don't know what kind of personal ads they have.
Cheap ones.
You also
single white male, one penny.
You also have an ad for a duck inner tube.
Oh yes, the squeaker.
How much is that going for?
I believe it's $2. It was just with the ad with the laundry basket.
Mm-hmm. Dina, perhaps we should set you up with someone. I feel like you need to get out of the apartment.
The golf ball guy.
There's a young gentleman of color who lives in Glendale, beautiful tropical Glendale, who's selling golf balls for 75 cents. So you can see he's a high roller. Perhaps you two could get together and talk about your love of thrift.
Oh, really? Wow. I don't know.
Dina, do you have a regular job besides selling stuff?
Regular job? Not necessarily.
She's in customer service.
Dina, I must say, my spidey sense is tingling. I'm very interested.
I've got a guess.
Very interested in you. Where do you come from? Tell me about your past.
About my past? Well, it's, you know what? It's hard to talk to. I don't even want to say this if I'm on the air.
Well, it's just me and you.
We barely have any listeners.
We don't know your first name, but it seems like you've had trouble with men in the past.
No, I have in the past, but a couple times, and I moved forth. So
violence? Was there ever any violence?
Well, you know what?
A little bit.
I don't want to share my personal life.
There. I understand. Do you still speak to your father?
Not really.
He was violent, wasn't he?
No, he's a big negative.
He took to drinking, did he?
No, he did that a long time ago, yeah.
He did a lot of drinking, and when he got drunk, he sometimes lashed out against the family?
He wasn't a lash out drunk. He just came home and preached.
Oh,
one of those.
Bible thumping drunk.
I know a lot of those.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you're not in touch with him anymore?
No, I want to be, but he's just not. He's listening to my older daughter.
And how about your father? How about the father of your children?
Oh, what about them? I mean, him.
Wait, she has two different kids from two different fathers?
Yeah, I have four kids.
From four different fathers?
No, two.
Uh-huh. Do you keep in touch with those fellas?
Yeah, I see them once in a while.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, you said you were 38?
Yeah.
See, now, here's somebody who sounds like she's in her 60s because she's seen a lot and been through a lot.
Four kids.
But yet, you're a relatively young woman.
Yeah, I'm young.
All right. Well, there's still time, you know, Dina.
Yeah, there's still time.
But not with that attitude there isn't, baby doll.
Yeah, but see, you guys caught me from, like, waking up, and I'm in the cloud.
Hey, if you're going to be selling laundry baskets, you got to be ready to go at all times.
That's right.
The early bird
Not really. It's just going to sell itself. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right. Dina, how long has the $2 laundry basket been advertised in the Penny Saver?
Probably, like, around, got to think about it. It's been, let me see. Probably, like, I don't know. I can't even call it. It could be a month or less, believe it or not.
So it's been in, you've been trying to make $2 for the last month?
Yeah.
How old are your kids? What's the youngest?
11.
All right. Hey, Dina.
Yeah.
I would like to go on forever with this, but someone who's selling Latina adult porn has popped up. And now fallen off, but William is selling vanity light bulbs for $5. I'd like to talk to him. Dina.
Yes.
Do me this favor, baby, because I used to do this for a living, and I hear a lot in your voice. A, no more goddamn kids, you idiot. You've already polluted the world with four you've screwed up. B, staying out of relationships would be a good thing for you. And your sole job once, here's your priorities. Let me give you your priorities, Dina. A, sell laundry basket for $2, although I'll accept anything above $1.74.
Okay. Best
B, sell squeaky, ducky, floaty inner tube.
Right.
That's B. And then C, don't F your kids up. Do not let your daughters get pregnant. They're going to be pregnant. The over-under is 14 and a half, if I know you. Do not screw them up. Oh, you laugh. And you'll tell me.
No, because they're past that age, except for one, so I'm already going above you.
What do you got? How old's your oldest?
See, that's what I'm saying. You're playing psychic minds, don't want to know, and you're not a good psychic.
I can read your mind,
see,
baby.
He's not being a psychic. You're in violation of reading the mind code.
I can't believe I was going to bother to get involved in that.
Hey, I want to ask you a question.
All right.
What are you working with?
What do you mean, what am I working with?
A redheaded
nut job and a chick who's selling her soul to the TMZ.
TMZ. Oh, my goodness.
Do you
like that show?
Do you watch?
That's a pretty good show.
Here's your demo, baby. We finally found him.
TMZ.
Uh-huh. Do you know who Adam Carolla is?
You know what? That's sad. Is that him in the background or what?
That's him in the foreground.
You're talking to Adam Carolla.
No, not right now.
Yeah. Well, do you know this gravelly voice guy?
The one in the back or the one right talking
say
to
hello.
Me?
Say hello.
All right, let's start with you. You say your name and see if she knows you.
Hello.
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 Can't name any of those voices?
Wait a minute. No, let him talk. Don't let you talk.
Now, wait a second. Do you know the name Danny Bonaducci?
I knew it. I had a feeling. Yeah, I noticed his voice, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to miss.
All right.
I've seen
Jack Klugman?
Yeah.
All right. So, and you're a fan of TMZ?
Yeah, but I know what you guys can help me with.
Sure.
Replacing Adam because we don't need him now?
No, that's okay. You can sit in the back row if you like, but I'm just saying. Hey, can you guys help me out with, no, seriously, I wouldn't put it out there. I've been trying because I'm really a homebody. I can't lie to you, you know.
I have a few medical shaker.
Me too.
No, but I have a few medical ailments. It's real, but I'm just saying I need.
That was going to be my guess. Disability.
I have a few medical ailments. That's not even funny now.
You're on disability?
No. I used to be. You could only be on there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But look here. I'm moving on to the next step. Okay, so anyway, I'm talking about my daughter. She's 11 years old. If she was here, she would sing for you guys. And I'm telling you, she is just, she reminds you of Whitney Houston and Keisha Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I am not lying to you. Some people say that and they're not good, but I'm trying to, you know, get publicity out. You know, I'm trying
I understand.
To help her.
Okay, so you're saying if she wasn't in juvie, you'd put her on the phone right now?
I sure would.
Yeah, she and Juvie?
You guys, you know what? I do have her recorded, but it's on the phone that you're on right now.
Hey, Dina. Look, is your daughter at school right now?
She's at school, but I have her voice recorded, you know, and videotaped on my cell phone that you guys are on.
All right, Dina, we've used up far too much time talking to you about your laundry basket anyway, because there are other very important people on the phone. I kind of like Dina, too, but again, four kids. How old's your oldest?
22.
He's already graduated Yale?
Yeah, I graduated. I stayed in school. Yeah, I graduated.
All right. We're talking about high school, right?
Yeah, high school.
Okay.
And I did almost 2 years in college for registered nursing.
Good times. And, baby, what's your illness? What's wrong with you?
Back.
Well, I don't want to put it on the air. That's really
important. But why can't you work?
Because I have a few medical ailments. I don't want to really go into that on the air.
Right.
So yeah, that's not good. That's not good. It's not happy. You know what I mean? But
scabies.
I still thank God.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm going to guess something do with manic depression, schizophrenia, depression.
No.
It's her back.
Or the back.
No. It wouldn't be a good... It's not a good one for the show. So.
Gynecological.
That means it's good.
All right. I'm going Crohn's or
colitis?
Bowel.
Colitis? Crohn's? IBS?
I think you hit one.
Wait
you
a minute.
One,
hold on a second.
Funny.
Hold on a second. This sound... That came from her while we were talking to her, did it not?
You didn't play that.
Of course it did. Oh, no. She made this sound. I recorded it.
Yeah, but she was talking when that sound came up, right?
Yeah, that's her going...
I don't know. I thought it may have come from a different end.
I'm pretty sure I can make that sound.
Oh, my goodness.
Now.
Do you have the irritable bowel?
We have to do more tests, so I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to take that as a big brown thumbs up.
We're in one category.
It's hard to work when you have that.
You can't work with that.
No.
All right. And by the way, it's one of the few jobs where the boss doesn't want you to come in
to
work. Please, we'll send your check home. All right, Dina. This has been enlightening.
Yeah. Keep on doing it. What's his name? Bonaducci.
Okay. Whatever it is I'm doing.
Strasser, and you see Teresa on...
Serious though, you guys can't just flush me down the toilet, you guys.
Well,
you can't do that.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you what, Dina. I'll tell you what, Dina. We have Billy Baldwin. William Baldwin. Do you know who William Baldwin is?
No, I don't.
Do you know who Alec Baldwin?
No.
So far out of all of us, she knows Danny Bonaducci.
Bonaducci's the biggest celebrity.
She doesn't know Alec Baldwin.
She watches TMZ.
I don't know him.
All
right, well, look, here's the deal. You watch Teresa on TMZ tonight.
Okay.
She'd be the the young Jewess on the show. And we will be back in contact with you because I want to hear your daughter sing.
Me too.
Yes.
And I, pardon the pun, want to get to the bottom of you too, Dina.
Oh, the bottom will come up to the top. Call me back.
All right. Hang tight.
You gotta like your style.
You never know.
Really rolled with it.
Who you're going to meet on Irritable Bowel Street. William, otherwise known as Billy Baldwin, is on the phone now. Billy Baldwin?
Hey, what's happening? Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Great to speak to you. I feel like I've talked to every Baldwin 10 times except for... Billy Baldwin.
I know. When are you guys going to... Well, I'm living here now with China and the kids. We're doing the show, so I'll come into the studio whenever you want. I'd love to.
Please. And, you know, I feel like you're the most balanced of all the Baldwins.
Yeah, they call me the white sheep of the family.
Ah, very nice. I like that.
You know, that didn't just come up off the top of his head. They really do call him the white sheep
of the
family.
Are you the most well-adjusted of all the Baldwin boys?
Well, you know, those who are seem well-adjusted on the outside are the most twisted and kinky, you know, in the darker recesses of my life. You can't even imagine what's going on.
I'm sure you're a maniac once the lights go off, but at least you seem to me to be the most well-adjusted, and you brought up your beautiful wife, China. You guys have been going on for 10, 12 years now, right?
Almost 17 years. We're married over 12, but we've been together since the 91, so we're going on 17, I think.
I know this sounds like a trite question, but what's the secret? You hear about all the Hollywood marriages breaking up constantly. You guys have been together for 17 years.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, my wife is just a lot of fun, and she's unpredictable, and, you know, the sappy cliches about just, you know, just communicating with each other. My wife was coming up to me the other day, and she's, you know, the night of the premiere of Dirty Sexy Money, she kidnaps me to the Beverly Hills Hotel, and we have room service, and we're watching the show, and sure enough, the show ends, and she's like, you know, I want to talk about us, and I want to talk about our relationship. I'm like, oh, yeah, can we have a night off? I thought we came to the Beverly Hills Hotel to celebrate, you know, Dirty Sexy Money. And she's like, but, you know, we need to communicate more.
Now, she was from Melrose Place, right?
No, she was in Wilson Phillips.
Wilson Phillips.
I got the wrong. I got the wrong one. Yes, the super hot
one.
Super hot one.
Yes.
No offense by saying super with such grace. But she's beautiful, your wife.
Yeah. She was with Carney and Wendy Wilson. She's the daughter of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah, I know. It's unfair because her mom was so beautiful and is so beautiful,
I know. Well,
right?
You know that old barometer. When I first met her, that's the litmus test that she had to pass. You look at the mother-in-law, and then you make a determination to see which way the genes are going over 30 years.
If it's sad that we live in this society, but very true. If you take a look at any of the early pictures from the Mamas and the Papas, who were a very successful band in the late 60s, early 70s, and you look at Michelle Phillips and you look at Mama Cass Elliott, you will not see two further people away in the look spectrum, sadly. Absolutely. And I'm not making fun of Mama Cass, but Mama Cass was a very unattractive woman. And Michelle Phillips, who was like 18 or 19 when she was in the band, was the best looking human being on the planet.
She was kind of like the Haight Ashbury sort of Summer of Love, you know, poster child for that anti-war era in the late 60s. She was sort of symbolic, and so was the music of the Mamas and the Papas, in a way, were symbolic of, you know, that whole counterculture era.
Now, there's no way that I can say that with impunity, but Mama Cass was so good. She could outshine a lot of that beauty, of that physical beauty.
No doubt. I mean, I was going to say that before when Adam was commenting, because when you weigh the looks, the scales tipped in one direction, but when you weigh the talent and the charisma and the charm, and I mean, Mama Cass was overwhelming.
I don't know the way you want to use the word weighed so much, though.
but it is
a mistake.
It is the difference.
I agree with you.
The difference between men and women, unfortunately and sadly for our society, it's a sad testimonial, is if you went to a Mama's and Papa's concert in 1969 and watched these two do their thing, Mama Cass Elliott would steal the show because she was a huge, literally, ball of talent.
Yep.
But if you got backstage, you wouldn't have thought twice between going for Michelle or Mama Cass because one was so beautiful.
Right.
And could sing as well.
If you're a real man, you wouldn't have thought twice because you'd have gone for Michelle.
Right.
But if you didn't get Michelle, you'd step up to the plate and take Mama Cass. And if you're a real man, you'd throw down half a bottle of Jack and go for Papa.
That's right.
Papa John. Oh, that wouldn't
Papa
be the only
John.
Thing you'd go with Papa John.
Well, William, let's talk about your charity while we're here.
Yeah, my mother is a breast cancer survivor from the late 80s, and my family formed this foundation, the Carol Baldwin Breast Cancer Research Fund, in the mid-90s, and we raised, you know, I don't know, $6 or $7 million so far. But I'm doing this online auction with an online charity house called CharityFolks.com. If you go to CharityFolks.com/Baldwin, you'll see this
online auction that I launched this week, October 1st, for all of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I have an insane lineup of items. I have 4 tickets to the New Year's Eve Playboy Mansion party with Hef, and I have a roadie for a day for Hannah Montana. I have lunch with the Kennedys at Bobby Kennedy's home, and a falconry demonstration by Bobby. I have lunch with the Sopranos. I have your kid on the field as bat boy for the Yankees.
There's also Sheryl Crow meet and greet, Melissa Etheridge, and Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire, Melissa Etheridge, Sheryl Crow, Dave Matthews, the Police. All of these are like backstage VIP laminations with meet and greets. I have walk on roles to 30 Rock and Stargate Atlantis and Dirty Sexy Money and Brothers and Sisters. It's a great lineup.
Great cause. Do you think your brother was robbed? That is Alec. For 30 Rock at the Emmys this year?
I don't know this guy that won or his work. I know that he was on the original British version of The Office, and now
Ricky
he's on a
Gervais.
Show called Extras, and everybody raves about this guy. But the vibe I'm getting from people is that maybe it's because they don't know him and they don't know his work that well. But the vibe I got is that people were as surprised by my brother's loss as they were surprised by 30 Rock's win. I was in the room sitting with my brother and the cast of 30 Rock, and when they said the winner for Best Comedy is 30 Rock and it wasn't The Office or Ugly Betty, I think there was, they all looked at each other and they were like completely stunned. They weren't expecting that at all.
Well, 30 Rock, we're on the phone with Billy Baldwin. 30 Rock is just one of the best shows on TV, and your brother Alec is just like, he's the white male good looking version of Mama Cass. He is bursting with talent, that MF-er. I must say, although he probably knows it, I'm sure he's the first to tell you.
No, he's very humble about that, about his work and about the accolades and stuff like that. But we all know he's extraordinarily talented. The show, I watched the first couple of episodes and I liked it a lot, and I thought it had a lot of potential, but I thought it couldn't like figure out who it was, and I said that they better get their act together quickly, otherwise they're going to be gone. And sure enough, 6 or 7 episodes into it, they really hit stride and they really sort of defined what the show was and who they were. But I think the anchor throughout of it, the foundation of the show has been my brother and his talent. But this is a guy who, I don't even know how many awards, but there's very few people in show business as actors have been nominated for an Oscar and an Emmy and a Tony and a Golden Globe and a SAG Award. I mean, I don't even know the list. We should look it up on the internet. The number of actors that have been nominated for an Emmy, Tony, and an Oscar, I think that's happened to like 5 or 6 people in the history of show business.
Rita Moreno.
That's one of about 5 people. My brother's one of them. But there's only like another 6 on the list with those two.
I thought that Alec Baldwin was overlooked for a while because he was too handsome. I thought people thought, how can this guy be this good and this good looking? I thought it hurt Robert Redford, too, who I also think is a really good actor.
Yeah, but Robert Redford isn't nearly as funny as my brother. My brother was doing
almost
SNL.
Almost nobody's right.
My brother was doing SNL for years before they finally realized that they should be casting. I think his looks did get in the way.
I agree.
You know, he did a couple comedies where he played the straight man in Beetlejuice, and then finally after he hosted SNL like 8 times, they realized that they could take the risk and roll the dice and cast him either as the guy or like the third or fourth lead in one of those, you know, Ben Stiller comedies. You know?
Well, we're talking with Billy Baldwin, and, you know, I was just thinking about the Baldwins. It's really like, remember when you were a kid and you'd get the little mini cereals in the variety pack? You had the Special K.
The Applejacks.
And then you had the Applejacks.
And Captain Crunch.
Of course, all the good sugary stuff would go first. But the Baldwins really are the breakfast cereal assortment pack of families.
Very nice.
Because I think it's all there. Billy Baldwin, I have used more the Special K. The thinking man. The guy who's watching his cholesterol.
Not the drug.
Yeah.
Not the ketamine.
Well, Special K may be Daniel. Boy, then you have Alex got a little Applejack in him.
Daniel's the Fruit Loops.
And Stephen would be like Christie's or something.
Look, they're walking across milk.
The box is shaped like a Bible.
Yeah, he's doing some good work, except for when he mixes it with politics, and then it infuriates me. I mean, the Christian work that he's doing, I really admire and respect, and so much good has come out of it. But, you know, then I get these Googles and these articles emailed to me about how he is, you know, I haven't even talked to him about it. Somebody sent me one yesterday about how he's trying to get this video game to the troops in Iraq called Convert or Kill. And it's like to get Christian American soldiers to convert Muslims to Christianity, and it's a video game where they, if they can't get them to convert, they, like, exterminate them or something.
something.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the bald ones, I do know your brother Alec fairly well. His driver used to listen to Loveline tapes while he drove Alec around on his job.
Oh, is that Jeff?
Yes, Jeff from Arizona.
Yeah, Jeff.
Jeff from Arizona was a huge fan of my old radio show, and he used to make tapes of it, and he used to play it when he drove around in his car, and then when he drove Alec around in his car, Alec became a big fan of the radio show. So I've corresponded quite a bit with Alec, and he is a great guy. He just has his superhuman mind, and once in a while he uses it for evil. But other than that, the man is a genius, and Stephen is a hoot, too, although Stephen and Alec at the same table for Thanksgiving smells like trouble to me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
my brother is...
We got a note from our phone screener. Did you see that?
It said,
William Baldwin's publicist is going crazy. Wants him off the phone now.
Oh, well that's what happened.
That's a ballsy publicist.
Normally, though, Adam, you love publicists.
Angie just handed me a note that said Billy has to go.
She pulled the plug. The publicist pulled the plug.
You know what? That's her job.
Oh, okay.
That's what they said about Gestapo guards, too.
That's right. Just following orders.
Yeah. We do have the
How dare you insult the Gestapo by comparing them to publicists?
I know. That's not right.
Apologize but, now.
Sorry, by the way, Gestapo.
The charity for breast cancer awareness is charityfolks.com/Baldwin.
All right.
A great cause.
I'm sure Billy is doing one of those things where he has more than one stop and we monopolize his time. Fine. Just yank the plug.
Sorry for trying to help him promote his charity to help cure cancer.
He was, by the way, going to say that Alec was gay.
He was about
right
to
when he
say
pulled the plug because
Alec was gonna
there's
out.
The 7-second delay so we could hear the rest of the conversation.
Yeah,
you guys
said.
Just heard where he pulled. He said Alec was gay.
The publicist called, by the way, according to phone screener Teddy, 7 times during that interview.
All right. Look, when you have no discernible skills, that's what you get to do in life. All right, we need to take a break.
Please try your call again later.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus, Dina's still on the line.
Oh, I love Dina.
I do, too. Hey, Dina?
Yeah, don't you talk to me like that.
No. Hey, Dina, look, I'm falling in
love with you.
I'm falling in love with you.
You are, huh?
We are going to put you on hold, and we will get your daughter in here to do some singing.
Okay. What was that about?
What sound was that coming out of you?
No, that wasn't me.
It was you.
Bonaducci.
Hold on, Bonaducci makes a different sound
than
that.
Come on, get gassy.
That's Bonaducci sound.
Okay, that's him. All right, then.
That's Irritable Baldina.
No, okay, that's it. You know what? That's not good.
I knew I'd win you over. All right, hang on. Well, actually, don't hang on. Give our phone screener your number. Make sure we have it. We'll get your daughter singing like a canary on this show.
Nice. Yeah, you have to be nice to her.
All right, we will. All right, T.
Yeah.
The news.
A boy band guru is being accused of being a pedophile.
Mm.
We'll talk about that and the Isaiah verdict.
Next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Halle Berry is talking about her pregnancy. During an appearance on Oprah, the actress said she and boyfriend Gabriel Aubrey have been trying for quite a while.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, breaking news from our own studio. Danny Bonaducci got into it with Fair Play, Johnny Fair Play over at the Fox Awards.
Fox Reality Really Awards is the name of the show.
Mm.
And Bonaducci apparently had a fight with Johnny Fairplay. Much of this was captured on video and in still photographs. And apparently the story is Johnny Fairplay was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's where there's some new information.
Mm-hmm.
Danny's just joined us.
Good, because I was in the bathroom. I'm going, oh, God, what are they saying?
Adrian Curry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is where reality stars converge and there's blood and missing teeth.
Right.
Because Adrian Curry, who you know from America's Next Top Model, as well as several other reality shows.
And Chris Knight's wife.
Right.
Yeah.
My Fair Brady.
I know her as Stony McHeshman because nobody smokes more weed than Adrienne Curry.
She reportedly likes the weed.
Mm-hmm.
She is writing on her blog that this whole fight between Danny Bonaducci and Johnny Fairplay was instigated by her, that she was the catalyst because he was on stage, he was being booed. This, according to her blog.
Johnny Fairplay was.
Right. Johnny Fairplay was being booed while Danny was just sitting in the audience. And now Adrienne Curry writes that she whispered in Danny's ear, or Danny whispered in her ear, "Do you think I should go up there and tell him what a douche he is?" Adrienne says yes, naturally.
Of course she does.
And then, he said to her, "Do you want me to tackle him?" She says, "Do it, Danny," and proceeded to chant Danny's name until he walked on the stage. And then, of course, you know, according to Danny, in his eyes, this was fun and games. They were horsing around at a reality show until Johnny Fairplay charged him, put his arms around his neck, swung his legs around his waist. That's when Danny flung Johnny Fairplay over his shoulders behind him, and Fairplay lost a few teeth.
Now, this conflicts with Danny's version of the story because Danny said that he was leaving the event and a woman stopped him, but it wasn't Adrienne Curry.
Didn't stop me. I was just, as I was passing her,
as they were booing,
I said to Amy, "They're booing him because they hate him."
Right.
And a woman happened to be there and said, "We should go tell him that."
So the Adrienne Curry version of this is not correct?
She's saying she told you to go up there and tell him he's a douche.
You know what? I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't, you know, she's a friend of mine. I wouldn't want to call her a liar. I would think she may be a little bit mistaken as to in what order the events happened. I don't think he was on stage when I left my seat next to Adrienne Curry. I'm not positive.
So you're sitting next to Adrienne Curry.
I'm sitting right behind her, right behind Chris.
So you might have had an exchange of some sort.
Oh, we talked all night.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, as a matter of fact, she wants to come on here. The conversation started when I said on the show the other day, there's no way she wrote that blog. It's too smart. She's too high.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I would like to come back on your show and bury you because I can be that high and be that smart." Well, I wrote every word of that. And that's how we started talking.
Of her blog, it says, "I started shaking. I helped this happen. Danny got pissed. He grabbed Johnny, lifted him up, and threw him over his effing head. That ain't all, folks. Johnny flew up in the air and landed on his face. Yep, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Danny Bonaducci went up on stage because of me, slammed Johnny Fairplay and knocked out his front teeth. Blood was on the floor as well as teeth. I feel terrible. I know it wasn't my fault that Johnny was stupid enough to try to piss off Danny, but I know Danny might not have gone up there if I hadn't cheered him on. Lord have mercy on us all."
Well, this is the problem with blogs. Everybody's putting themselves right in the middle of the battle. I'm sure if GIs in World War II and Iwo Jima had blogs, every single one of them would have said, "I was the first guy off the landing craft to hit the beach. Three of my men went down and I dragged them to a foxhole, but I had to take out five Japanese in hand-to-hand combat on the way there." You know, every single story told would make them the center of the story and the hero of the story. You didn't say anything when we talked earlier about Adrienne Curry being anywhere near this.
Well, according to her blog, she was the centerpiece of the incident and the catalyst, and she feels terrible.
Yeah, hold on. Did you say blog or bong?
According to her bong? There's a possibility as I was getting up to leave, I went, "This guy sucks," and she said something. I mean, there was no special event that happened until people were just booing him, and I was already gone.
I think she's been blonging too much.
Yeah.
You get high, and then you blog, and the next thing you know. And then I was riding a unicorn, and I came down. Actually, it was a Pegasus. I swooped down and broke up the fight with my magic lasso.
I read your blog all about it. Well, hopefully this is all bong water under the bridge now.
I would certainly hope so. I mean, because obviously, I don't know. First of all, with the tape of him jumping on me, I would certainly countersue him, and I don't think he has the money to fight with me.
Adrienne Curry made an interesting point, which I hadn't considered and which I didn't deduce from your telling of it. According to her, what made you mad was that when he jumped on you, he was making a fake humping motion on you.
Yeah, well, I couldn't really tell. I mean, he was totally doing this.
Yeah.
But his hands were also on my throat.
Nah, and so, that's how I make love.
It seemed humiliating slash dangerous all at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was doing the humiliating thing, like, let me do this to you. And like I said, there's tape everywhere. This cannot be missed.
Well, I ran into program director Jack Silver on the way to the restroom just now. And he told me that what's good for the show is a possible felony arrest for one of the co-hosts, that and or cooch.
So there you were in the bathroom when you spot an eyeball looking at you through the ass gasket dispenser, and he said, hey, that looks like Jack Silver's eye.
Inside the glory hole.
And you guys went and talked in the hall?
Yeah, it was a little of an, it was awkward.
I wonder why he runs toward the hall every time he sees you go into the bathroom. Well, interesting.
How do you think I got this job?
All right. So what else?
Lou Pearlman. You know who he is?
Oh, this is shocking news.
He's an impresario that's behind some of the biggest boy bands in history, including NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. According to a new article in Vanity Fair, Lou Pearlman was a pedophile who was attracted to the boys he was mentoring.
Well, what a shock when you see the super pasty white guy with the man boobs who seems to be obsessed with 17-year-old teenagers. Anytime any guy does that, you can stay at my house while you're recording the record and no time to settle down.
Yeah.
Look, I've said it many times. Unfortunately, when you have too much interest in teenage boys, there's a problem.
Really?
I've said this many times. When my son turns 15 and it's time for him to go camping, I don't want the overenthusiastic Cub Scout leader going, when do we leave for Mount Pinos? I pack some s'mores and condoms. I don't want that guy. I want me going there, the guy who doesn't. The guy where you go, hey, Carol, it's your turn to take the kids up to the top of Mount Pinos. And I go, are you high? Jesus Christ, didn't I do it last month? And they go, no. And I go, those little bastards. Well, I'll bring my iPod. That's the guy I want. Not the guy's like, hey, kids, who wants to come swimming over at my house?
Right. That's why I wore boots to every single one of Dante's basketball games.
Yeah.
So they would never say, hey, Danny, your turn to coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently this Lou Pearlman thing was not a very well-kept secret. A lot of people openly discussed him being a pedophile, as is alleged in the Vanity Fair article. The mother of Backstreet Boy Nick Carter, Jane Carter, the mother of Nick Carter, says, quote, certain things happened and it almost destroyed our family. I tried to warn everyone. I tried to warn all the mothers. I tried to expose him for what he was years ago. So, if you're wondering where he is right now, he's sitting in a Florida jail awaiting charges of bank fraud. He reportedly scammed $315 million from more than 1,000 investors over the summer. They picked him up in Indonesia, where he was living under a fake name. So he has not been charged with pedophilia or any crimes against minors. He's just been charged with bank fraud.
How did they ever find the albino with man boobs in Indonesia?
Difficult.
Hey, the guy's driving around the gold car who's pasty white, has a triple chin. Where is he? I haven't seen that guy.
I'm looking for that guy.
I'm looking for that guy. He looks like the locals, the 80-pound brown people. All right, sorry,
Faith
T.
Hill, you talked about her the other day, because if you'll remember, at the CMAs, she was up for Best Female Vocalist, and Carrie Underwood won. She quite obviously was making a joke. She knew the camera was on her, and it looked as though she was pretended to be disgusted that she lost.
Right.
Clearly
right.
joking.
Right, yes.
To just about anybody.
We punished someone who had a sense of humor.
Exactly.
Right. Now, it turns out, I wasn't aware of this until I, you know, saw her on The View. She was traumatized by this experience. She said it was the worst time in her life and that she thought about retiring because she was so shattered. This might have been on Oprah or The View. Either way, she felt terrible. And The View, thanks. And she really supports Carrie Underwood, and she says she's been known throughout her career for supporting young talent. Here she is discussing what she calls the worst time in her life.
After 15 years in this business and taking pride in treating people professionally and especially supporting new and up-and-coming artists, especially female artists, you know, I just, that's not even a part of my...
You were kidding.
Game. I was,
you were kidding.
I was joking
kidding.
Myself. It had nothing to do with Carrie Underwood. And I understand I have a crazy sense of humor. And Whoopi and I were talking about this earlier, that some people just, you know, sometimes take it the wrong way.
First off, her and Whoopi, same person.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one, D. I can't tell those kids apart. Number two, here's the problem. the media goes on the offense and the celebrities go on the defense. And they immediately go into that. I'm a big fan of Carrie Underwood. I respect her immensely. I feel like her work, her body of work is awesome, and she deserved the Grammy. I was just kidding around. I'm sorry if somebody misconstrued. They should be going, hey, you retards.
Yes, they should.
Do you not have any sense of humor whatsoever? Do I have to explain irony to you? Do I have to explain this concept where I'm over dramatically acting for a gag? Well, and are you so retarded and so lightheaded that you can't suss this out, you pussy retards?
A lot of people have a real problem with that she doesn't know that other people also have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. She did something she thought was funny. When it made a little hubbub, she then thinks the whole world didn't get the joke, and now she's the enemy. So she's not about to go, what's wrong with you people? Yeah. I was kidding, it's obvious.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's not obvious to them. She's then now calling them stupid to add to offending the stupid.
Well, they need to go on the offense. Of course, yeah, that's what I do when a camera's in my face and I find out I didn't win. I flail my arms about and yell, woe is me, you effing idiots.
Right. Now, who was on Oprah yesterday? That was Halle Berry talking about how she's pregnant.
Hold on, I gotta call Terry.
Dactyl?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's sad because she's pregnant.
You're taking Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had to warn him about her extensions before.
She's 3 months pregnant.
Hey, what do you want me to do? Wait for 6 months, 5 months when the kid's about to pop? Better we do it now.
Well,
it's like a first trimester abortion.
Okay. I'll say this. She seems very happy with her model boyfriend, and she told Oprah that she is going to do a Stedman, not going to get married, wants to have a spiritual marriage.
Mm-hmm. I'll spare him. He's got good genes.
Yeah.
This is
I call my pterodactyl out on Halle Berry.
I don't know. Maybe you should give it a little time.
I've had enough. I should have called him in right after the Oscars.
Yeah, that was a bad time.
Yeah.
Before she was pregnant, I would have been okay with it.
Well, we'll see if we can't extract the kid, although that's not going to be pretty because I got to tell you, he's no surgeon, Terry. Yeah. Look, do what you can. And then let's not say we didn't try, but her and whatever's in her is going into the volcano.
Prepare yourselves for a story.
Yeah. What now?
About the worst mother.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a break and tease the worst mother story?
Of all the stories I've ever done about awful parents, this trumps. Yeah.
Mm. Worse than Halle Berry?
Oh, way worse.
How would I know that?
Worse than my own mom. Mm. Push?
Close.
How should I know?
It's going to shock you.
All right. Maybe I'll send Terry, after he drops Halle in the volcano, maybe I'll send him out to Florida or wherever this mom resides.
Hell yeah.
Well, Dad, you're next, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the worst mother ever next.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're woefully late.
I thought maybe.
Yeah, so
we're chatting it up today.
We did a little talking today. We got our talk on, kiddies.
Yeah.
As we're known to do. T.
Yes.
So you have the worst mother ever.
Yes. I will make this quick, although there are a lot of elements to the story, but if you focus, I think you'll get it. This is about a woman, a 37-year-old named Wendy Knowlton of Cook of Saratoga Springs, New York.
Mm-hmm.
You may know Saratoga Springs. I think there's a the horses race there.
Mm-hmm. Saratoga, yes.
That will come into play in a moment.
Good.
Cook is a prostitute. She would take her 5-year-old daughter and her 8-week-old son with her when she was working.
Mm-hmm.
According to Vice detectives, early Monday, Cook performed on at least 2 men in the front seat of her car while the kids were in the back seat awake.
Oh my God.
So she was working in the front seat on a couple of Johns.
Oh, my God.
Simultaneously, or because does she have a bench seat in there? Or
at least 2 men that evening, I assume, not at the same time.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
In the back seat, her 5-year-old daughter and her 8-week-old son.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of the night, Cook was smoking crack right in front of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Worst of all. Now, I need you to visualize this.
Right.
I got nothing but visuals going on right now.
Wow.
I have to tell you, according to most of our society, if she lights a cigarette those kids should be taken away.
Right.
The oral, the crack, and the Johns, no problemo there. But if those kids get a plume of secondhand smoke, now we have a real problem.
Well, where do you stand on this?
Definitely not a Jew.
While she was breastfeeding the 8-week-old, she snorted a line of cocaine off his stomach.
Okay, I swear to God, I was going to make a joke about where's the bad mothering come in, but now I can't even bring myself to do the joke. It's just too horrifying.
Now, one of the men she solicited on Monday happened to be an undercover cop who busted her, got her kids away from her. They're with family members now. Cook was charged with 5 counts of endangering the welfare of a child and 1 felony count of reckless endangerment. But here's a strange detail. Wendy Knowlton Cook comes from a very wealthy family. Her father, Jack Knowlton, a racing icon, owns Funnyside. Funnyside is the horse that won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness in 2003.
I thought it was a comedy club.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
No, Funnyside's a winning horse.
Well, you know, she probably got hooked on crack. She got in and out of rehab. Family disowned her, and she's taken to the streets, much like Rob Downey did in Lesson Zero.
Yeah.
As far as the kid goes, bad news is they've been destroyed by their mother psychologically. Good news is you always have the best story when people are whining.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm sitting next to this kid and they become an adult and I'm like, you think you had... My dad didn't go to a Pop Warner football game I went to. He went to one time once. He went, but he brought a book. And she's going to be like... Hey, dude.
Really?
Yeah, huh? Because when my mom wasn't, when she was done with the John, performing oral on the John, she did a line off my belly and got a freeze off my baby sack. Yes. They will always have a one-up story on your ass.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the bright
side.
That's
the news.
Good times.
Good times.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. CNN.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk underpants.
Right on.
Next.
I'm Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ow.
And again, not gay.
Nope.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Davis and Joaquin are both here from Big Headed Boxers. You just heard us talking about it during the live spot we did. We met these guys in the Beverly Hills. I don't know where. We're in a hotel.
The Mondrian.
Yeah.
Danny got in his underpants. And
Danny got in almost everybody's underpants. I think that's what helped close the deal.
We talk a little underpants turkey. So, and you brought a beautiful, is it Maristi? Yeah, underpants
she's got the
model.
Breakaway boxers on it, looks
show
like.
Show them how that works.
Now dig this, guys.
Check this out.
Like one of those warm-ups in basketball?
Yeah.
Those are the breakaways. When you have those big-headed moments, you don't get caught up at the ankles.
Now, I am not being a perv here when I say, can I see that particular pair? Okay, that's not the girls' ones that I wear.
Those are the girls' ones.
Yeah.
Those
are the
ones
I wear?
Those are the booty shorts, correct.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
They don't look that good on me.
They're boycotting.
I mean, they're cute.
You got a little extra something in there that shouldn't be in there.
But by the way,
yeah.
Because of the way they're cut, looks gigantic, and it's not.
Oh, that's the whole thing.
Once they've seen that it's not as gigantic as it looks, it's too late. The deal's closed.
Exactly.
When are you guys going to make underpants with like a funhouse mirror in it?
You know what? That's a great idea. That's a great idea. In fact, I'll make a mental note on that one.
I just want one that has the opening to a funhouse where the fly is. You know what I mean?
Well, then you need to have, you know, if you like that, then you'll love the safety series. Have you seen those? I don't think you've seen those yet.
Those have the condom pocket.
They do have the condom pocket. In fact,
and they also have a seatbelt. To always ride protected.
And they have an orange cone stuffed into them?
Actually,
I like
you know
to
what?
Fill out if, my if, safety series.
If I'm wearing them, they do, in fact, have an orange cone in them.
This model is very beautiful.
I know. I'm trying to be my coolest, too.
Not only is she beautiful, but she's smart.
That's a good...
Oh, well, you know what? That's
cute.
Look, these are the... That's I brought hot. The fire hose.
Right,
these are part of the safety series, which is a collection of using different worksite signage, road signage, and brought it all into the product. So it's intrinsic with the product. On the back is flammable gas.
Classy. Okay.
All right.
So there's what, though? I never buy gag gifts, and that's so perfect for me. I may have to get that
Benny, anything but wide load.
Exactly. So, yeah, she just, Maristi just demonstrated the breakaways, which also come with the condom pockets. Now, you guys seen in the measuring, you seen the measuring tape in the fly, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
You know, I would say it's calibrated for her pleasure.
Yes. Yeah. A half an inch equals 1 inch?
That is correct. The inch marks are slightly
smaller. Danny is huge.
That's Danny's right. 9.5 inches.
Yeah, I'm back to normal size. I'm 6 inches.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why everybody measures up.
That's the
campaign.
My footwear is a version of your measuring tape.
Exactly.
Because I'm 5'6 when I take these puppies off, and I'm 5'10 in them.
Is that right?
I want to tell everyone to go to bigheaded.com and see Maristi in her underpants, see Danny in his underpants. Look.
And maybe if there's a God in heaven, you'll see me in Maristi's underpants.
And again, you don't want to go into the store and buy the funky underpants and have the guy look at you like you're some kind of weirdo. You do it online, and you look at beautiful people
exactly.
in their underpants.
Exactly. And not only that, but if you're Adam Carolla, you may get them delivered to you. So I brought you five pair.
Ah.
Just wow. so that you That's don't have to double worth. Up.
Just
you know?
Did the math. Yeah, there were like 40 years of underpants.
Without having to do the laundry.
Wow.
So we got you some boxer briefs. Teresa, we got you some booty shorts.
Oh, I love those.
And Danny, we got you some booty shorts
yeah,
also.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Bigheaded.com. I'm sorry, we're just plumb out of time. Bigheaded.com is where you go. Keith, Joaquin, and most importantly, Maristi.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much for coming in here in your underpants, and thanks for the door prize.
Yeah, thank
Quick
you.
Quick break. Back to wrap it up next. Well, just enough time for thanks where thanks are due. Eric Stromer. You should all be as good looking and know as much about home improvement as Eric Stromer. Makes me look like a pig who knows nothing. I hate that guy.
Why all the hating?
Over Your Head, name of his show, HGTV, Saturdays, 11 a.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. We talk about range. Billy Baldwin, the Special K of the assortment pack, known as the Baldwin Brothers, the sane one. CharityFolks.com/Baldwin is where you go to help out the folks with the breast cancer. Keith Davis, big Headed Boxers. Bigheaded.com is where you go to find the underpants. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm white, I'm 42, I'm a divorcee, I'm new in town, and I'm horny as hell.